Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
All your transgression you receive the atomic bird to the ass!
Bird!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Says he's the devil. All
she fills the terrible and the knights of the round table.
Yeah. something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night.
night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The Turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody, and you too can survive. I hear listening to the Knights of the Round Table is good for the health. How you doing, everybody? Everybody out there got a whole bunch of knights around the table. So what?
Hey, how
who's in here?
Hey, we got Sir Jimmy. Sir Jimmy's making a grand entrance.
Yeah, cool. Well, we got Cultus in here, and what'd you say?
Hey.
Oh, okay, that was a really good start. Well, so what do you guys think about the Knights of the Round Table being good for your health?
Oh, I don't know if you're telling our listeners the truth.
Well, come on, they say laughter's good medicine. I'm bound to say something stupid.
I don't know. It may be a little bit too early. Placebo effect, I hear.
All right. Well, as long as you get your coffee, I guess you're all right.
Well, they say it's not good medicine for diarrhea.
Oh, well,
I reckon blueberries and fresh cream. Blueberries and fresh cream is what you want.
But I got the perfect cure for diarrhea, man. Really.
Yeah,
you take a cheap case of beer, and a box of laxatives, and a bottle of castor oil. What do you think?
That doesn't sound good at all.
So, more of that idea of throwing gasoline on an open fire, huh?
Yeah, I mean, get it over with in a hurry. That's what I'm going to say. All right, so don't try that at home. Because I am not a doctor.
And he doesn't play one on TV either.
You'll have the FDA police coming up to your mouth.
Yeah, let me tell you. What are you talking about telling people to drink cheap beer? They don't even care about the castor oil or the others, because I think that's like pharmaceutical there. So they're going to make some money off that one. But the cheap beer, All right, anyway, well, we got a whole lot of stuff coming up here pretty soon, and we are like only inches away of getting virtual labs up and running. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I need a bit of an update there on that, but other than that, I've gone over and I've had a bit of a look, and the setup seems quite user-friendly.
He's working on a few codes to try to make it even more user-friendly, but for the moment, you know, it'll kind of have to be like a step-by-step with everyone who's going to have a lab. He'll walk them through, you know, how to set it up and get everything started and all that kind of stuff, and I just think it's going to be a spectacular deal. You know, there's chat rooms off to the side there where, you know, if you're watching in on a lab and you see the research going on, you can actually pose questions, you know, and like we were saying there last time, Cultus, you know, if somebody's got something that's really fantastic, you could say, hey, you know, could you like lift that up so I can see the hidden wires or batteries or...
Yeah, no, that's it, mate. That's exactly what it's, you know, a big part of what virtual labs will be about is the whole technology vetting, isn't it? We'll be able to take a deep look at people's people's claims rather than just, you know, take them off the, you know, 2-minute video they've got with the music behind it, no real explanation, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, when you run an experiment, you end up with anomalies that are really interesting that they'll be caught live. You know, it's indisputable. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
That's one of the reasons why I'm really excited about this whole deal. You know, because, you know, if it's real time, everybody has a, you know, real time interaction with the researcher. You know, you cut out all the monkey business. Now, keep in mind, on my channel, I put a lot of crazy stuff out there, but a lot of, if you notice on my videos, you're going to see, like, a question mark after, you know, whatever. It's gonna pose a question, you know, what do you think? Is it or isn't, is it possible? Is this, you know, reality or not? And I want people to be thinking, outside the box. I got an echo going on. Echo. Hello. Anyway,
it's twice the fun.
I want people thinking outside the box, because that's where the good ideas come from. You know, like, take for example, if you look back at the old days, like, let's go all the way back to the old antique Buck Rogers films, you know, whenever you seen it looked like an iron hanging from a string with sparks coming out the back. But that one little idea sparked something else that, you know, hey, we could make this look a little bit better if we do, you know, this or whatever. And then so that we made advancements that way.
Yeah.
And so if you get people thinking outside the box, that's when the creativity, in my view, comes around the best. What do you think?
You're exactly right.
So anyway, you know, I don't call it mad science or nothing.
She says, I was born outside the box.
They wouldn't let you in?
The only way I know, she did. The only way I know.
I don't know if I want to even touch that one. I don't think we're allowed to on this station.
So James was knocking on the side of the box saying, let me in. No.
Pretty much.
Oh, I normally do that too. Oh, what?
Well, you know, I guess...
You got in touch. Box said,
I'm in comedy mode today, guys.
That's good.
Keep the levity.
But, you know, we also got the pop build-off coming there. And, you know, I mentioned in this latest video that I did, and I saw your video as well, Cultus. If you folks haven't seen Cultus's pop video, he does a little bit more explaining of the rules. And, of course, we both posted links to the contest there. But, you know, we take just a simple idea like a little toy boat, a pop boat. There's some basic science going on there. And granted, you know, with the math from the math wizards out there who said that we can't scale this up to full, we don't have to scale it up identical. I mean, we could throw some other things in there to try to, you know, get it to where we can actually cruise around a full-grown man inside there. What do you guys think? Is it possible?
I'm just excited that I get to judge.
Oh, yeah, that was like, oh, kids, one of the judges.
This is a pop-pop. I'm going to say this is a pop-pop boat contest, not a wet t-shirt contest, so just calm down there.
Yeah, besides that, Kent, you wouldn't want to see old King Shaziz the Turbo in a t-shirt. It might not look so good.
Well, as long as it's not wet.
Well, if it was wet, I'd probably be walking all slumped over, because a wet t-shirt going to be pretty heavy on me, according to my wife. She told everybody yesterday if I turned sideways and stick my tongue out, I'd look like a zipper. Hey, wait.
Oh,
I know you didn't. Yeah, she does. And she'll point it out, too. But, you know, there's a whole lot of creativity that could come up out of there. You know, I also put in that video about a little bit about thermoelectrics, because, you know, to some extent, the pop boat is, you know, thermally ran. And so I don't know if we had it into rules or not. Could somebody use thermoelectrics to actually run an electric motor, or do we have to stick specifically to steam, Cultus?
No, they would have to stick with steam, okay. Like to the pop engine design.
Well, I told them to check with the rules to make sure I wasn't wrong.
that's all good, mate. That's the best thing.
But what if they use the thermoelectrics to light up some diodes so that you can run your boat around at night without crashing into, like, say, a fog or something?
Oh, they can go for their life there. That's aesthetics. All right, because they're crazy there.
There is some wasted energy going on there.
There certainly is. Yep, yep. We want to capture as much of that as possible. That's, you know, that's a little bit more thinking outside the box and get you a couple extra points, you know.
Yeah.
Using that wasted heat energy coming off the top there to do extra work with something else.
Well, anyway, one of the points I was fixing to make with that whole thermoelectric was the pop-pop boat got me thinking more about thermoelectrics. And up until I did some research, I didn't realize that there was a thing called a thermal pile out there. Have you ever heard of a thermal pile?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, they're pretty...
A healthier version.
Yes, yes.
They're pretty amazing. I'm going to echo it again.
There's a 150-year-old or 100-year-old model of one going back, like, it's an antique at this stage, but it's still producing energy something like 60 years later since the last time it was touched up or something.
Cool.
It's cool. In a museum in Europe somewhere. I can't remember. I'll look it up for you, she says.
Well, I'd love to see that. That's awesome. But, you know, like I said, that I would have never even known had I not done a research, because I've always known what a thermocouple was. I mean, you use those in a furnace, but thermal piles are essentially like a whole bunch of thermocouples in you know, crammed in one little deal. But there was a book also that we pointed out about the boy electrician. It was a pretty old book made back in the 1900s, and it shows a whole bunch of old science experiments with electricity and magnetism and stuff like that in there. So, you know, like I said, one little thing like that little toy boat sparked off a whole lot of research that, you know, led to that book and even more. So, you know, I think that this pop-pop boat build-off could be end up being a real exciting deal. What do you think?
Oh, most certainly. I'd love to see some of the ideas that are going to come out of it. I mean, you know, just me mucking around with the coil in the backyard and the battery's been interesting enough, let alone what other people might come up with, you know.
Yeah, I'm really excited myself to see all this stuff, and I hope everybody goes all out with their designs and, you know, just gets really super creative, because I would even like to see a solar version, you know, where... We've seen where people actually take some steel pipes and they'll heat up oil inside them pipes and get some pretty good temperatures out of them. So, yep. You know, I would like to see something like that done. I mean, I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah, well, anything's possible. It's the idea. We're going to think outside the box and build the possible.
Man, that echo's annoying.
Isn't it?
All right, so what else we got on the table?
Where's it coming from?
Well, one time it came from James, and this time it came from Thomas.
I am muted. Normally it is me and my inept behavior to not mute the mic, but this time it's not.
Inept behavior, I love it.
Okay, it's all urine, Tom.
Are you still getting it?
No, not now.
Oh, no.
Not since I got married.
Yeah.
Give it a minute. We might come back.
That kind of just slid right by there, Cultus.
I think so, mate. No one else caught that.
You guys.
Only the married man heard.
So, Thomas, what's on in your world?
You know, I just woke up a bit ago, so...
Okay, how about Kent? What's going on in your world?
Oh, there's not much going on in my world, other than I just packed up all my stuff and threw it on a shipping container, and it left Friday to head to Hawaii. So we've been living out of boxes and sleeping on really cheap blow-up air mattresses here.
Cool. Sounds like camping trip. So you're going to Hawaii. You ain't moving right next to a volcano, are you?
Pretty much.
Well, why don't you drill a hole in the side of that and get some of the thermoelectrics going on?
I've actually been thinking about that.
I mean,
I've been thinking about drilling a deep well and pulling out some of that free energy out of the ground.
Well, I mean...
Might as well while it's there.
me living next to a volcano, I think I'm too paranoid for all that. But, you know, if I was going to be there anyway, I might as well try to use some of that steam to heat my water and some of the thermal electrics to make some electricity. So, you know, hey.
Yeah, set up a nice little steam engine and have it just kind of plumping along all day. Sounds like a good project.
Yeah, if you get a hold of one of them steam vents, heck, you could just plug that puppy off with a really good steam engine. And Colton,
my piece of property isn't by the steam vents, but it's basically they classify it as lava zone 1, which is the highest risk of a flow going through there, you know, like a volcanic lava flow. So I think maybe I might have a chance of getting some heat out of the ground. There's probably some hot rocks down below someplace.
Did you get a good price on the land?
I got a good price.
I'm just saying.
It's not really that big a deal, you know. I mean, everything over there on the big island of Hawaii, I mean, you think about it long term, everything's going to be covered with lava eventually anyway. So it's just a natural process of the earth. You know, it's nothing to really lose sleep over. If it happens, you know, start over and build again.
Well, you know, you could get a little creative and, put you a giant balloon on the roof of your house and then have a vent that would, in worst-case scenario, when the lava flow started getting too close, the hot air would fill up that balloon and, you know, carry you off to safety, hopefully.
You could always move to Ireland. The most dangerous thing we have over here is sheep.
Man. So.
And grass. Grass is pretty dangerous over here, too.
How dangerous could a sheep be?
Well, no, New Zealand, man.
It will look at you.
Oh, no. Anyway,
man.
With that crazy eye? Does it
crazy eye look at the sheep?
Yeah. Man. Well, you know, I guess you're better off with a crazy-eyed sheep then.
I just got a call from Scott Brown. He'll be here shortly.
Good stuff.
So. You're better off with that crazy-eyed sheep than them drop bears that old cultist has to contend with. Hey, wait till you get that package. Kent, did you see the shameless advertising on the side of that package?
The shameless advertising? No, I didn't even look at the shameless advertising on the side of the package.
Yeah, it says Shaziz all over the side of it there. I was going to go to Australia. I would like to see. Yeah, hey, look, I'm in Australia.
Well, the problem is I'm going to have to rebox them because the boxes that you sent them in are more like basketball shaped now.
Oh, that don't surprise me none.
They're pretty much round. There's not a square corner on them anymore. So
well, there went my shameless advertising.
Yeah, pretty much.
What, did you
send
them U.S. mail or something?
Yeah, he sent them U.S. mail and some of those priority boxes, and I think they just pretty much rolled them around in the trucks, and they're so soft. The cardboard's so soft right now I could use it for toilet paper.
Well, hopefully they didn't break off any of the elements in there.
Hoping the bushings are all okay.
Yeah. I packed them as best I could with what I had to work with.
I'll find out as soon as I crack them open and check to see how damaged they are. But they didn't treat them very, very gingerly or gentle.
Yep.
And they certainly didn't keep that side up, I'll tell you what.
Really?
They kept it up every four turns.
Oh, man.
Every eighth turn.
So there you go. There's a good example of how good your government takes care of you. U.S. mail.
Yeah.
You know, what's sad is that those guys are always screaming about not getting enough money, but I mean, they turn in, for every $10,000 they're given to run that facility, they're turning in $30,000 worth of profit that the U.S. government is taking and spending on, you know, war and whatnot. And, you know, they're only giving them like the $10,000 of that back.
Does your postal service take like a whole week off over this New Year's break?
Oh, no.
Ours does.
the next day, man.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I hope they still work when you get them.
Yeah, so do I, mate.
Nah, they should be all right. They're pretty sturdy. Anyway, where do we go to from here?
Well, I got a couple more people to add to the phone call, would you believe? But
yay!
Other than that, keep going.
So we were talking about sparking ideas off, and we were talking about the wonderful service of the United States Mail Postal Service there. And yep. We were talking about virtual labs. I'm really looking forward to getting virtual labs up and running.
I mean, this is all, you know, proof of point that no matter what we put our mind to on the internet, you know, between us all, anything can be done. You know?
Man, did you see that? He's just coming jumping right on over.
Oh, I know. He just jumped right on me, didn't he? No.
Right in the middle of somebody's talking. How rude.
No consideration for anyone else.
Shameless. Struggling for the highlights.
Right off there. Top of the morning to you anyway, doggone it.
Yeah, we should give him the atomic boot.
Good morning, Scott.
Yeah. I'm bending over, Bubba.
Buddy, buddy, buddy.
That is so tender. That is so, so tender.
I'm bending
over. Don't you mean Mookie Moody Madman?
Is this a celebration?
Oh, he's bending over.
Happy something to you. Happy something to you. Happy something or other. Darn it. Happy something to you.
Hello.
Yay! I gave him two thumbs
up.
Don't
expect my wake up, man.
That's all.
Alright, well anyway, we got, like I said, we got virtual labs up and running, the pop build off coming, and I'm positive that out of all of these is going to spark off a whole lot more, and so this is some exciting times. I think this is going to be a really good year. What do you guys think?
This is going to be our best year.
I'm very excited about the year. Very excited.
And I believe this is night's number 73.
Yeah. This is going to be a milestone show, though.
Yeah.
You mean because I'm here? Or?
Totally. It had everything to do with it, James.
So which milestone is this going to be?
Hey, I was wondering who that was.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have James on here. How's things going over there on your network there, James?
Wow. On my network?
Yeah.
Wow, pretty good.
Give yourself a major plug.
Actually, I've had a major spike on the graph because I've been covering a story. This is interesting because I've actually done some proper journalism, but I've been covering a story in the Great Pyramids. There was paint stolen by a German archaeologist. I'm going to be speaking to him very, very soon. But the scandal was that they said it was the cartouche that was stolen when in fact it was just a piece of paint that was in the corner of the Great Pyramid. Anyway, there's been a whole scandal. It's been all over the Arabic newspapers in Cairo. And my radio show got a mention in the papers in Cairo, like, so I've been hitting the international headlines, like. But as a result, there's scandals with National Geographic involved, who's been paying people illegally, and anyway, I've uncovered a whole lot on my little meager radio show.
And that's Capricorn Radio.
Capricornradio.com, yeah. Capricornradio.com, I love it. So I finally did some good in my show, but
almost done good, mate.
Yeah, you know, and I do geopolitics shows, and I do spirituality shows. I don't just do most, I'll be honest, 70% is ancient history.
I'm trying to add, can somebody add live mic to the call?
Oh, I can do, on my way.
Yeah, get him in here.
I was trying to find him before. Where is he?
And it's just, should I say, myself and live mic do a philosophy show every Saturday, and it's getting good numbers as well, and it's starting to really evolve, and... It's actually a bit of philosophy, theology, and a bit of science all mixed in. It's nice, so.
G'day there, Mike.
G'day. How you guys doing?
Oh, pretty good, mate.
There was somebody else trying to call in, too, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out where they were.
Wasn't Mikko, was it?
It might have been.
HD from the chat room?
Yeah.
See if you can add him in, too.
Oh, I've got him on my list here.
Yay.
Cool. Saw a really interesting article in The Independent today. Brain function boosted for days after reading a novel. How about that?
There you go.
Well, then I need to read
reading
a bunch of them.
Like novels. Yeah.
What about
reading a...
But not... Michael.
Say again.
Hello. What is your addiction?
Hello, my God.
It doesn't specify it on
there. Hello.
Can we get back to you, man?
Yeah.
Hello.
Right. Hello.
How you doing? Can you hear us?
Yes, loud and clear. Can you understand me?
Yeah, we got
yes.
you.
Yeah.
You're live on the Knights of the Round Table.
I know, I'm just watching it. I was trying to call you, but it's hard, you don't answer my calls.
Yeah, we had to add you in because we're in a group call right at the moment.
You're live on the radio.
Yeah. Did you have
Where are you calling from, Mitko? Where are you calling from?
Oh, fell out.
Uh-oh.
We lost Mitko, damn it.
Apparently, voice was too much for him, Michael. You need to tone it down a notch.
All right, well, see if you guys can...
We need Vasto on now, man.
See if you guys can get him back.
Well, how many can we get on here before the system crashes? This would be great.
Yeah.
Hey, I think this is probably the fullest roundtable we've had in a long time.
I know there's one more coming, too.
Yay!
Crystal Jimmy is here.
All y'all Knights of the Roundtable, call in if you listen. Let's see how big this table really is.
Yeah, there is a bit of a shout-out tonight. We do need as many Knights of the Roundtable in here now. So, if you're listening, and you've been a Knight in the Roundtable before, you need to get your butt in here tonight, because
yes.
We've got something important to do, and not even Shaziz knows what's going on.
All right, well, tell us all about it, brother.
No, I'm not telling you anything.
Nothing?
No. That would be wrong.
That
would be wrong.
Would be, see?
Yeah, only the people know what's going on in this Knight of the Round Table.
Only
the knights. The king is supposed to be blind today.
This sounds like a mutiny.
Does sound like don't even know.
How you doing there, Mitko? We got you back there.
I'm having some problems with the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we have that problem. That's modern technology for you.
Technology-itis.
Yeah, as long as Skype doesn't run out of bandwidth, we're fine.
Exactly. All I got in here now, there's seven of us in here. There'll be eight in a little while. And,
okay, guys.
Hey.
Who are we waiting for?
Just one more, but that's all right. Everything will happen in time.
Who are we waiting on there, Cultus?
Little lady, my friend. Yes, the light goes on.
Yes, well, I know why she's not here. Okay, that might be a few minutes.
Yeah. So that's okay. And all our listeners out there, you're going to get a bit of a kick out of tonight. We've got something planned, and, you know, we thought we'd teach this lesson for never being around and paying attention.
All right, so
we got the buzzers ready to for cutting hair.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So it's going to be one of them haircuts that makes me the talk of the town.
Yeah. Bev's all organized. Bev's all organized. She's going to hold him down for us.
You're going to have a really strong desire to operate heavy equipment when we're done with you, Shaziz.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You're going to have no hair.
That sounds chilly to me.
He's going around saying you're a logger.
Shall we add Tim Tang to the...
If Tim from Tang would like to join, you most certainly can add him.
All right, so we got the virtual labs coming up. We got the pop build off. What else we got in line besides whatever you're up to?
Well, they're sort of the two main things, obviously. I am still waiting on a few parts, but I am making my argon-filled Tesla core.
All right.
I have the gas. That's sitting in the fridge on the back porch because I'm afraid to leave it in the back cave because it's got some warning on it that I shouldn't let it get above 50 degrees. So I figure, So I got the vacuum pump from the fridge. We gave that a test with a vacuum gauge of the day. Pulls it down to about 28, 29 pound. So that's a fairly solid vacuum. Not bad off a second-hand fridge compressor.
Well, I can't wait to see your results, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so basically, it's just going to be a visual aid to see what, you know, when we do things to the coil, what, you know, is going on with the magnetic field. We'll see how it works out. If there's, you know,
don't you need hot plasma to see the magnetic field?
Yeah, well, that's we're going to take the secondary Mikko and put it in a vacuum in a tube. And then place that inside a second tube and fill that tube with argon.
Yeah, and once that argon's energized, believe me, you'll get the heat you need.
Yeah. It should light up nice.
And that's...
It'd be like a giant...
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be like a giant plasma globe. Like a plasma tube.
Just be careful.
Yeah, of course. Of course, that's why we're going to vacuum it out. And then put argon in up to atmospheric pressure, no pressure.
If you actually look at the plasma ball itself, because, essentially it is a Tesla coil.
Yeah. Sorry, Mikko?
I don't want, when I'm watching TV and I hear half Australia is gone and all our credit is left behind.
Yeah, don't blow up Australia.
It won't be me. It won't be me. If there's half of Australia missing, Mikko, it wasn't me. At least that's what we tell everyone, okay? It wasn't Curtis.
Okay.
I like Mikko's his photo there, the X-ray.
Yeah. I can kill you with my brain, his Skype photo says.
Yeah, well, I got one of those super powerful brains. What do you think of that, man?
It can... experimentation and that will happen.
It can count to ones by twos or something like that.
So we...
we got to be...
I don't know, but we got to stop all this dead air.
Sir Tim can't make it this morning.
Sir Tim can't make it.
Kind of a really nasty day, and got an emergency out there working in the cold and nasty drizzlies, and yeah, so.
Oh, keep me now.
He said he'd come in next week, though, so that's the good news.
That's good. He's got some really good ideas, Tim, does he? Build his own...
I said 5 minutes, and he'll be here.
Oh, will he?
Good. Yeah, Sir Tim from Tang will be here.
Okay. Well, there you go. That was a quick change.
So, let me ask a question. Is anybody, since we got all these people in here, is anybody out there experiencing the wrath of global warming today? Or anything?
Yes. We don't have snow in here. Nothing.
No snow?
Last year we had, we don't have snow, and last year we had like half a meter of snow at this time.
Oh, well, so you got warm weather going on right now?
Yes.
Okay, ship some of
that. It's warm.
Ship some of that over to us, because we're freezing our behinds off.
We have temperature records this day.
Well, ship some of that hot weather over here.
Okay.
You know, hook a big fan up to the side of your house.
Bottle and send it postage due to Shaziz.
Yeah. That way when I open it up, I get a warm breeze.
He doesn't mind seeing COD.
Yeah. How much it cost to ship air? They'll probably dent it on the way if it's coming through the U.S. mail.
You know, the U.S. mail and it's air from up there, they'll probably steal it.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
that. You'll get smog in a bottle by the time it gets to you.
They'll be like, here's your fresh air, man.
I was going to say, they don't want anyone competing with their canned air game there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's kind of funny, but you think about this, you know, with that whole carbon tax thing, and essentially you're being charged to breathe, and you can go out and you can buy a bottle of water for a dollar, man. You don't realize how expensive that would be per gallon for a dollar of water, a dollar a bottle of water. And so that's something that nature provides, so I can see sometime in the future where they're like sell you a dollar's worth of fresh oxygen, you know, so you know you don't have to smell whatever's outside. So you know
I have a great link I think you guys would enjoy. It's from a global warming refuter, or I guess he offers refutation and he rejects the idea and the notion of global warming. His name is Lord Monckton.
Oh yeah,
you guys ever hear of this?
Yeah, I've done some research.
Well, I have a great link for you. It's called the LordMonctonFoundation.com. On the very first page, you see a nice little chart, and it shows the global surface temperature for 207 months from September of 1996. Through November of 2013. I think you guys will be interested to see what was found. You guys want to check this out? Here, I'll throw the link into the chat box, and I will also put it out in the chat room for our listenership, okay? And there you go. And take a look at that. Isn't that remarkable? It actually shows that the temperature is actually going down. It doesn't show that it's rising.
Well, I can guarantee you.
The problem with that is we're actually heading towards the Earth's orbit, and the tilt of the Earth is actually heading into a ice age type of scenario.
Well, I can believe that. I can believe that because I'm telling you what, I had snotsicles coming out my house this morning. The wind was blowing, and it was chilly, and I threw a whole bunch of logs on the fire, so I'm doing all right now.
That's why I'm moving to Hawaii, man. I'm tired of the cold.
Yeah, just wait on them mega coins to get up, mate. I'll be coming there to join you.
Well, when you get to Hawaii...
Basically, the information really shows that there has been no global warming at all for 17 years.
It's a scam, dude. You know it's a scam.
How about that? Yeah.
When you get to Hawaii, put a big fan up next to one of the deals and aim it my direction. Because I need some...
No, you got it.
I need some heat, man.
No. He's got to move out there if he wants it.
Really?
Yep, you're going to have to move.
Yep. We're going
to
centralize
everyone.
Yep, centralize everyone in one location. Build a big lab. If you want the good weather, you got to move out there.
Man.
Yep. Wife sucks.
We can collect some of that plastic out there and just build a big island.
Yeah, Thomas is gonna he's gonna tie a rope to one of the palm trees and float himself a bottle island.
You know, I always did.
You know what's amazing to me is that there are people out there that are arguing. They're arguing for climate engineering. They're planting seeds in the subconscious minds of the world that this is something that we can actually.
They've already been doing it, Mike.
They have, I know, it's crazy. On October 29th, 2013, there was a debate on C-SPAN, and they were talking about climate engineering. They're like ramming it down our throats, expecting us to just accept, chemtrails? Is that what we're supposed to
do? They're doing it just like GMOs, man. They're good for you. Good for you.
But the
for your own good. It's always for your good and safety. Just for your safety.
But the funny thing,
tomatoes over here that's still completely useful. You can still, I mean, it's not the, you know how it gets whenever you leave it sitting out for too long after you cut the top off. The top will get a little shriveled, but you know the bottom you can still cut it off and still have a good tomato there. There's about 40 plants growing out of that thing. 40 tomato seeds growing up out of that thing. It just sprung up overnight. Like we cut the top off, set it in there, came back the next morning to make a sandwich, and we had tomato sprouts.
The funny thing about the whole deal about them talking about it on C-SPAN or whatever is that, you know, back when we were pointing it out, you know, years ago, whenever all this science just didn't add up, they like called us tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nutcases, you know. The debate was over, according to Al Gore, you know, and if we said anything, you know, oh, they're just nuts. Now, what are you saying? They're talking about it on TV? That's messed up, man.
Yep.
Yeah, don't point it out, man, because if you point it out, hey, you're a nut. Even if it's sitting right there in front of your face. So, you know, where do you go with that?
Exactly.
It's like them drop bears in Australia, man.
I'm mad. I'm very mad.
If someone thinks outside of the box, he's going to jail.
Yeah, that's the way it's set up. And they'll either
go to jail or they'll vilify him and make him out to be some kind of conspiratorial freak.
I've even watched a few documentaries here recently on the Science Channel where they were talking about how they would be able to one day tap your thoughts, you know, and throw you in jail for that.
One day.
Yeah.
What makes you think we're not going to
let that happen. Never.
I think they were already doing it.
Good morning, Jim.
Yes, but we have the opportunity to stop them.
Well, I agree with you, Mitt.
Good morning, Tim. Welcome to the Knights of the Round Table.
How do you do, gentlemen?
You got your coffee?
Well, Tim from Kang, everyone.
I have no idea what you've been talking about. I'm just in from outside in the mud and the rain.
Right now we've been
about global warming and how many people are really happy or trying to promote it. That heightening of the brain and all that kind of stuff. You know, the introduction to the Borg on Earth and
indeed
global warming. You know, I mean.
I do have something to add on the global warming subject.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Please do.
Okay, well, what is clear to me is that an awful lot of folks have different agendas around global warming. There are those folks who want us to believe in it because of their agenda. And there are those folks who don't want us to believe in it because of their agenda. There are lots of folks spreading lots of fear and uncertainty and doubt around climate issues. And there are other folks spreading lots of reassurance and saying, no, everything's okay, we can carry on as we are. Can we all agree that this is going on? This is what we're seeing and hearing around global warming issues.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say say myself having an agenda per se as other than trying to like point out the basic science and the ludicrousy of selling somebody the right to breathe via carbon tax.
Yeah, but that's an agenda too. Your agenda is to point out the misinformation, right?
Yeah, there you go. I guess you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, misinformation. There's so much misinformation around it. But there is one thing that I can say that I think is really true. And that is, during the Industrial Revolution, and over the past sort of 200 years, as the human population has grown rapidly, the human impact on the biosphere, if you like, has increased.
Well, I would say that
every year we humans do more harm to the environment than we did the year before.
I would say that, like cities, for example. You cram a whole lot of people in there and they're dumping oil down on the streets, which runs down into the creek. So, yeah, they're doing some serious environmental damage in that general vicinity. But I'm also a firm believer that nature is more powerful than we can ever possibly be. And nature has the capabilities cleaning up. And, you know, it's like this. If we get out of line, nature will put us back in line, you know, or take us out of the picture,
big
period.
Time. Turn around and bite us in the ass, she's gonna.
Yeah.
She's gonna turn around and bite us.
We are part of nature, so I mean, you know, that may be the bite in the ass is literally.
You know, we are not part of nature. We have not been part of nature for a long time. We're outside of nature right now because
that's an ego, man. To think that you're so much that you're somehow above the universe.
No,
I think you meant below it, Tom.
Right, but
you got people that
think they're,
you
know, because we are doing so much harm to nature. We're like
monsters to nature, aren't we?
Yes, we're not animals. We're monsters.
Hmm. Well, I understand. Yeah. I understand his point on there. You know, like let's say strip mining or stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of things going on there in that general environment that you know you're killing off maybe insects that are important to that particular environment, and you know, just about in every other environment. I liken it to like you know, I've said this before. If we're like a goldfish in a bowl, you know, we keep on peeing and pooing in our water until our water becomes so acidic that you know, it just basically burns our gills and kills us off. Well,
yep.
Nature has that potential to, if we do, you know, too much damage, it will literally basically kill us off. And there's a difference between There's a difference.
In the words of George Carlin, the Mother Earth is going to shake us off like a bad case of fleas.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is.
Scratch behind the ear and a good shake, mate.
There you go. But here's the difference that a lot of people ain't pointing out, is that if I go down the city, I can stand on a hill, look down in the city, and I can see it's just caked with smog, you know, and I can go down there and I'll walk around, and I can see trash, and I can see little streams around there polluted, you know, oil and antifreeze running down the drains, and you know that's going somewhere into the water. And then I can that very same day, you know, I can measure the temperatures down there, come out here back out to the country, and stand on another hill and look out, and I can see fresh air around, and I can notice the temperature difference in the two different areas. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
So
have you ever look at a city from like from space, what it looks like?
Forest in a petri dish.
Not quite. It's like a giant scab. Like, you know, when you taking a tumble on your bike or something, and you scrape yourself up, you got that basically that hard crust forming up all over the skin. All that concrete from space just looks like a giant scab. Like somebody cut the earth open and it bled out.
On you.
Yeah, and then dried up.
Well, my point,
you know, everyone's talking about this. I was thinking of something, fellas. I'm sorry for cutting in there. The thought that I had was, it's not all men that are doing this. It's some very powerful men. It's some very powerful global power elite that are, unfortunately, really have the world by the reins, so to speak. But if you look at other cultures, if you look at ancient cultures, and if you look at less sophisticated peoples in the world, and I mean by that technologically, if you look at the Amazon, if you look at the Congo, some parts of I'm trying to think of Burma, and you know, other parts of the world, there are peoples there that are living in harmony with nature, harmoniously living in the world, and they're not parasitic, but they're one with nature. And I think, you know, that you see this in this country with Native Americans, and that's something that I think that we can recapture. I think that's something that we can choose to be in harmony with nature, and the way in which we treat the environment that we're living, wherever that is.
Well, and I can agree with that.
So it's
that.
Just to put like a positive spin on it, you know.
That's kind of like in better terms of what I was trying to say earlier. You know, you go down to the city, that's more like the parasitic style of living, where you're just kind of depleting everything around you. You come out to the country and you see, you know, walk around. Nature, you know, is being able to do what nature does, and it's not being polluted and, you know, trashed out. And so you'll notice a difference in the air that you breathe out here. I mean, everything smells better. You feel better out here.
Yep.
James, you're about to say something. James, I cut you off. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I said, tell me who these elite people are, Michael. I'll take them down. I want names, Michael. I want names.
I think it would be tyrannical dogs.
I'll hunt them down for the tyrannical dogs that they are, Michael. Show me them. Show me where they are, Michael. Tell me.
We can try to
prop them up, and there's an awful lot of people really interested in holding them up. They've got the social engineered to where basically no one can get near them.
I just
surround themselves.
Well, prime example, just look at the difference in the presidents of old here in the United States as opposed to the presidents of modern day. They drive around in this limousine that they call the Beast. It's built like a Sherman tank on crack. And so if you even look at the man cross-eyed, he'll poke your eyeball out and throw you up under the jail.
Right.
You know, that's the difference, you know.
Yeah. But, and he's just a puppet.
Yeah.
That's just it. He's just a puppet. Imagine how much is surrounding the people that really, pull the strings.
Yeah, you know.
You know, one of the great things about the Knights of the Round Table is all of these wonderful people bringing their ideas and thoughts to the table and sharing them with the world. And I think that everybody here has the capacity, if they applied themselves and did the research and the homework, that they could really survive and live without, having to do any harm to anyone else. And in other words, I'm not an advocate of hunting these people down with respect to anyone that thinks that might be a good idea. I just think we need to live and basically just separate ourselves from that whole chaotic mess.
Well, I agree, Mike.
And become self-sufficient, you know. And there are things that we can do off the grid.
So you're looking at basically becoming the beacon that'll draw those people away from that are clustered around that mess.
I think it's a good. That's a good notion to be a light to others and try and show them in a good way, in a real way, to show them they can live off the grid. They don't have to be swept away in the system and be one of the slaves of the corporation.
I think
there are. Yeah,
I think
you can do with less and live. You know.
I think an example of what Michael...
The problem is, if we do that, they're going to hunt us, and they're going to just exterminate us.
Well, they can try.
For just doing them.
But listen, this is what I think that an example of what Michael's talking about is, let's take the protest zones. Who would ever thought they'd ever heard the word protest zones? You know, you got to go over in this little caged area, and you got to protest. Here we have a worldwide protest zone where we can speak out. And when you talk about hunting us down, they got to go to Canada, they got to go to Australia, they got to go to Germany, Ireland. They got to go all over the world to get us all, because we're not centralized in one general vicinity. But yet, every time they try to shut one of us down, 10 more of us pop up. And so this is where I believe the power lies in being able to actually make positive ideas out there into solutions that we can actually turn the ship around, so to speak. What do you guys think?
I'm ready for them in Ireland.
Yeah, see? We got.
But I think Righteous is, and I also think that we have to network with each other and team up and try and form communities of assistance where everyone can bring their gifts and talents to help each other. And you have this, contributionism that Michael Tellinger talks about, where you have this altruism as the virtue of our community, and everyone is trying to help everyone else for the common good of us all.
Henceforth, virtual labs.
It's a philosophy that I think that, this kind of group is, it's a good thing to consider,
Yeah, henceforth, virtual labs, brother.
Say there's two halves to that. You have to concern yourself with if you're going to try to do that, because that's like that whole idea of Jacques Fresco wanting to do the Venus Project and thinking that that's going to work and just throw a city up where everything's free. You're going to have some sort of control over who's taking what out of there, or else you're going to have people from the normal, the monetary system are going to come in there and invade that place and run off of all that stuff, and then go back to their world and sell it all off, and there'll be nothing left. They'll basically destroy it, so you've got to protect it from that until it's strong enough that it can actually begin spawning more of its own kind.
Sounds prudent, Thomas.
So, but I mean, it's a system that can work. I mean, we have to change the entire consciousness of the human being from being one of fear and lack, and there's not enough, to one of realizing that there is an abundance, and that we've just been we've been blind to what's been available to us all this time. We've been, like right now, you've got all these people who are basically so focused on getting hemp legalized that they're ignoring there's a mountain of other plants that could be used to do anything that you could use for hemp all around us that are growing like weeds. Kudzu is one of them. You can, they're talking about making oil and fuel out of hemp. Well, they're making alcohol out of kudzu, and kudzu grows so fast it'll literally choke a tree and destroy it. It'll tear down telephone poles and crush houses. And, you know, we've got this plant that we could be cutting up and using for, you know, making alcohol and other oils and whatnot, and they're ignoring it because they're so focused on that one plant they've been denied.
Well, I like the idea of going to the alternative because, you know, that's just like, you know, while they're over there saying no on this right here, we're over here building on this over here. And that's why I like the Knights of the Round Table and all these networks that we've brought together here for all these ideas, because I would have never even heard about kudzu if you hadn't said anything about it. So now I know it's an option out there on the table.
Well, that's just
yeah, I've never even heard of it either.
It's not the only one.
Thomas, how do you spell that? I'm not familiar with that either.
K-U-D-Z.
Yeah, it's a very nasty plant. I'm going to tell you.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
So, you know, there's another option. There's another solution on the table. And this is the whole purpose of having virtual labs coming up and running, is that we will be able to bring all these minds together and actually build things, show people how to build them. And like I said, while I'm doing an experiment, if I'm building a Tesla coil, so to speak, then you can build one right beside me because, you know, you can just real time, you know. Instead of having to try to hunt down the information, you've already got guys that's already researching on there. And so we bring all these people in from everything from alternative medicine to alternative energy to legal issues or whatever. And we have all these networks that are put together where people have these resources to actually do something in the world. See, I think it was Cultus telling me that, or maybe it was the guy who's actually building the website, that a lot of people have talked about doing something similar to virtual labs, but nobody's ever really done it. So now we've got the tools, we've got the technology, we've got the ball rolling, and it's up to us if we really believe in what it is that we're preaching to the world about making the world a better place, is to just do it, you know?
Yep.
If you can't use hemp because the government says you can't use hemp, use kudzu, like Thomas said.
Right. Well, you know? This is the thing. There's a lot of money into keeping hemp illegal, and it's creating a huge stir with that. If we just step away from that and start using something else, all the money that they're pouring into keeping that one plant illegal will basically be going to waste at that point. And they're going to give up, and they're going to stop pumping money into it, and then it won't be long before you'll basically be able to get that back into the system. But in the meantime, you know, we could be to a point where we don't even need it anymore.
Well, there you go. You know? And I've said this a million times.
For posterity's sake, at that point, you know, you have something that grows five times faster than it and is already destroying property and, you know, needs to be cut back into, you know, to be, you know, get it under control. And it can be used for an energy source, it can be used for paper, or it can be used for any of these things that basically we're, you know, destroying our environment. Like, you know, we're cutting down virgin forests to make toilet paper.
Well, I've said this a million times. Whenever we're feeding the beast that's eating us alive, you know, essentially one of the drawbacks of our research is the materials and getting a hold of certain things. A little example was, I tried to call a company up that made flywheels for weed eaters, and all I wanted to buy from them was some pole pieces, but this particular company, they refused to sell me the pole pieces, and those are those little metal pieces that go on each side of the magnet to change the field from north to south. They refused to sell me these because they were afraid that if I used them to build a flywheel that they could get sued if I got an eye put out and my flywheel exploded. But I think the real deal is they didn't want any competition out there, so they weren't gonna sell me anything like that. So the options that are available for us to actually try to do anything like you know, the main corporations are limited by, you know, what information we can get out of them. You know, You could go to one of them wholesale clubs and buy food a hair bit cheaper, but you're never going to get... The best route is to go directly to the man who's selling it. Buy it straight from him, you know? But it's like one of them untold secrets, you know? You can't find this information. You try to ask a company, hey, man, where do you buy that at? They're not going to tell you. So these ideas like what you're talking about, alternative for hemps, these are like gold to me.
Hey, the other thing about kudzu is, and Thomas will agree with me here, is in some places of the world, even here in the United States, if you don't close, they say if you don't close your window at night, it'll grow into your house a few feet. It grows that fast.
Right.
Man.
The thing is, if you live somewhere where you get a good freeze every year, like here in Oklahoma, it gets extremely cold once a year without fail. But the rest of the year, it's incredibly warm. So, I mean, up here, and it's resistant to drought. So, I mean, up here, it would do extremely well. I wouldn't have to worry about it escaping and basically destroying. Like, you know, you wouldn't start it out in the middle of the country, and, like, a couple years later, you're reading about it destroying the largest mall in the entire state.
Man.
You know? Which is ultimately what would happen if it didn't get a freeze. I mean, eventually, it would get to a point where it would reach that place. They would eventually abandon the place because it was costing too much to keep it back. And then it would just take over and crawl all over and crush that building.
Which is another testament of how powerful nature actually is, because this particular plant has the capabilities of destroying what man has put together. Am I wrong?
Right. Well, and that, what I said earlier about us being a part of nature, they're tinkering around with a fungus from South America that basically turns ants into zombies and has already shown itself to being genetically resilient and taking over. It literally jumped the gap between the ants and the moths that were down there and literally took over moths and were controlling them after killing them. They're talking about tinkering around with that and bringing it up here to use it as a pesticide. Right there's a prime example of how the human race, being a part of nature, will end up regulating itself. If we cause too much damage, we'll end up basically wiping ourselves out.
Well, then, now I would say now would be a pivot point in the history of time to where we got to try to do something to steer everything away from that direction, because, you know, if there were societies before us, they got so advanced that they destroyed themselves. It looks to me like we're on the same path, you know. You were on the path of sure destruction in the direction that we're going. I mean, I don't think anyone here at the table could, you know, disagree with that. I mean, look at it. Look at everything we've done so far, you know. We build up, then we blow it up, and then we build it up, and then we blow it up. You know, it's just, it's this never-ending cycle of, you know, waste and destruction. So, you know, we got to do something, and we got to do it now. It's not a, you know, wait till the future and let our kids worry about it kind of thing. By the time the future gets here, our kids are going to be screwed if we keep going the way we're going. Am I wrong?
Exactly. You did wrong, mate.
That would be the statement of, you know, we're Generation X and they're Generation Y, but not like the letter Y, more like the why do we even exist, you know?
Yeah. You know,
you take everything from us, why would you even put us here in, you know, in a life raft with no food in it, you know?
I said something in one of my deals of talking about how we are the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, and so on of our children and our children's children's future. Now, if you think about that and really seriously contemplate on what that means, you know, looking into the future, I would like the future generation to say, you know, these guys back here, they led the way for us to be able to live like we're living now, you know, as opposed to, you know, the dirty, rotten, you know, good for nothings. They sit on their butt and just let society go to heck in a handbasket. You know what I mean? We got another caller coming
Where
in.
Where is that coming from?
We do. You better answer it. Your telephone. Hello. How are you?
I'm very cold at the moment, but I'm okay. I've got a blanket on.
Welcome, Dame Shannon, to the table, everyone.
It's that global warming trying to get you. Stay safe.
Yeah.
What a lovely voice you have.
Morning, Shannon.
Hello.
Well, welcome to the round table.
Well, thank you. I've been here before.
I know, and it's an honor. We need to have more lady nights at the round table. So tell all your friends, come over and join the table. It's like bring your own coffee. BYOC.
Boyock.
So what are we talking about today?
Everything under the sun.
Global warming.
Global warming's been the topic. But just for those of you who don't know who Shannon is a freelance artist and sculptor. Sculptress? Would that be the right term?
Yeah.
And you can check out her work over at cultist.weebly.com. She's got some pretty awesome stuff over there.
And we're not just talking about global warming. We're also talking about, some of the other different things like virtual labs and the upcoming pop-pop build-off boat contest there. And so we got all kinds of stuff on the table. But if you got something you want to throw on the table, that'd be great.
Well, I had a dream that I built my own pop-pop boat.
Well, then make it happen. Dreams become reality whenever you want to make them so.
So all I got done was a carving of a stick of a canoe.
Hey, that's a start.
Better than nothing.
I sat last night and carved a canoe out of a stick.
Yay! Now all you got to do is throw a diaphragm engine on there and go.
Yep.
Yeah. It's tiny, though. It's like the size of my finger.
Well, throw a tiny diaphragm on there.
Baby.
Hey, she could have the world's smallest pop-pop engine.
Yeah, we'll even make a category for it. There you go.
That'd be cool.
You might be able to figure something out to make it larger by trying to make it smaller. See what's basically what would hold you back on making it smaller.
Maybe. All right.
We'll see.
Your angle, Thomas.
Yet even more ideas.
So who all do we have at the table today?
Well, everybody go around the table. Say hi. Muddy sounds like he's talking through a sewer pipe.
Somebody.
Come closer to the mic, Muddy.
Okay, so I'll go around the table for you. We have Sir Kent, we have Sir Thomas, Sir Michael Stevens, Dame Shannon, obviously, Sir Muddy, King Shaziz, Sir Mitko, and we did have Sir Edward around somewhere, but he's since disappeared.
And we had Sir Tim from Tang.
And we did have Sir Tim from Tang, who has also since departed.
Man, hey,
they've taken their coconuts and they're gone.
And you forgot something, Cultus.
Who?
That's King Shaziz the Terrible, you, mister.
I did not.
No, the Terrible. You forgot the Terrible part.
Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all, King Shaziz the Terrible.
Stop being so nice, man.
Yeah.
You got the Terrible. Yeah, hey. We're going to start talking.
Oh no, we can't have that. That's bad for the rep.
Old King Shaziz the Terrific.
I rule with an iron fist.
Yeah, you got to bring your cat and eye tails next week.
Yeah.
Eat them all.
So, we were talking about the ludicrousy of, charging somebody to breathe, the ludicrousy of having to pay for a dollar bottle of water. We were talking about how nature's in control, but we think that we got we cornered the market on nature, which, surprise, surprise, there's things out there like the plant that Thomas mentioned, such as kudzu, that will destroy a building if you don't get a hold of it. And that same malicious plant, so to speak, could actually be used to make paper and all kinds of products.
There is a lot of that southern, for sure.
So,
you see that? That's true.
Okay.
All over the place.
Maybe you should make some kudzu artwork.
Well, yeah.
It is fine.
I'm sure the weedable basket.
Yeah. Everything I've been reading, that stuff's dangerous stuff. It looks like it's like once it gets out in the wild, it just dominates the landscape.
That's weird.
So if you're gonna, it has to be in a controlled setting, right?
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere like where Thomas lives, like they get the really nice frost, which will kill off kudzu once a year.
Right.
So it kills
everything. Nothing else does though. That's why it's so dangerous. If you get a drought, it can survive in the desert and still spring back a couple years later if it doesn't freeze. So.
That reminds me of Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
I'm very allergic to.
If you weave it into a basket and then water it, will you have a really big basket?
Just let it keep growing.
Hey, the attack of the killer basket.
Yeah, when it gets to the size you want, you just freeze it if you can get it in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then it'll take over your freezer.
That grows around you like a giant cocoon and you're gone.
Hey, there could be a movie in there.
There is.
Yeah.
You got copyrights to that movie, to Cultist?
They tried to. Yeah, okay. I remember.
No, you was going. Go with it, brother.
I was going good, then I went blank.
He tried to save the world, but the kudzu won out.
I tried to get too tight.
It was safe to go back outside.
Just when you thought it was safe.
We could make it a free movie of Attack of the Killer Kudzu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to be in the movie. I'd like to be that one guy, the first guy that dies off in the movie, like I could come running by with kudzu stuck to my face and like, ah!
You can smile.
And it grows up your nostrils. And
yeah.
Out the ears.
And you get the scene from Alien where it bursts out your chest. That'd be sweet.
This is a great sci-fi thriller, man. We've just come up with it on the Knights of the Round Table. Attack of the Killer Kudzu.
Yeah, there's solutions, man.
Featuring Dave Shannon.
Attack of the Killer Kudzu.
I've got the theme song.
All right.
Three Little Pigs versus Kudzu.
Well, you know, in every sci-fi monster flick, there's always got to be that one unknown guy that gets croaked off, and so I guess I could be that one unknown guy if y'all don't mind.
That's all right, dude. There's got to be a hero.
I'll have a hero.
In a world turned dark by kudzu, one man of common power stood clear among the rest.
Hey,
and that man was.
Can I have a 5-minute dying scene?
With today's computer,
you can always come back at the end.
Yeah,
with today's CGI, man, you can come back as like the half kudzu plant, half human dude.
Yeah,
so like infect the human race.
Yeah, there you go.
That's one of the dying scene is where we have intermissions.
Totally. This is by the way, for all of our listeners, this is protected by intellectual copyright.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. All right, so if there's a kudzu movie
first
out there. Oh,
there's no pesticides used.
Has there ever been an open source movie made?
I don't know. It would be exciting to, you know, there's another project for us. You know, you could make a clip and I could make a clip and we can have it like a perpetual movie where everybody adds a clip to the next scene and so on, you know, and that way I could throw my 5-minute dying scene in there, you know, where like I fall up against the wall and I'm, oh, and then I roll across the floor and then I'm up again and then I'm down and then I'm up again and so on and so forth for like, you know, 5 minutes and then finally I drop and my feet kick up in the air like the cartoons.
You're saying you can have whatever you like.
Everybody be like, just die already, come on. Hey, you gotta ham it up.
Surprisingly, it's also an herbal remedy for alcoholism.
So we don't want to have to worry about nobody getting liquored up on the set and getting hurt.
If you feed them some kudzu, apparently, that's right.
If you start having a problem with, you know, alcoholism. Apparently, you can use it to curb that and, you know, help you come back.
Well, I don't think I got a problem with alcoholism. I drink, I get drunk, I fall down, no problem. I seen a bumper sticker like that once.
Who are you drinking from, man?
I was curious, you can make an awful lot of alcohol with the plant itself. I have been summoned to make a special delivery.
We've been invaded. We've been invaded.
Hear ye, I have been summoned to make a special delivery on December 29th of 2013 to my master.
That's the first and last time I'll ever hear that.
Cost me a lot to get her to say that.
What in the heck's going on here, man?
I'm
Neil.
I got a package in my hand that says Fragile.
Fragile? Well, yeah. Well, that Fragile package, that Fragile package may or may not contain a gift from the Knights of the Round Table to ye old King Shaziz the Terrible.
Uh-oh.
I think it's Italian. It actually says Fragile.
Fragile?
Should I be nervous?
I don't know. Should you be?
I'm thinking maybe.
You should open it up. Stop stalling. It'd be right. Very descriptive.
I'm
suddenly hear a massive explosion.
Oh, that's it. It's one of those mutinies. They're getting ready to blow me up. Run, lady.
Yeah, bring them right real close to the package if you want to hear it.
All right, there's nothing in the envelope. That had an address on it. Now I'm cutting through the tape carefully because it says Fragile.
Turn around a little bit.
What, you got a camera going?
All right. Fragile, you're supposed to shake it.
Shake it.
You'll bleed.
All right, well, I'm kind of slow on the draw here. Trying to cut through the box carefully without cutting my finger off.
So this is proof of what can be arranged on the internet. You had one person put it together. Three people arranged what is happening right now. And all came together.
Remember that night when I woke you up with a phone call?
There appears to be a scroll inside of here.
Hey, well, you should read that.
All right.
Well, maybe should read that. What do you reckon, Sam?
I think Beth should read it.
Here, you want to read it?
Okay, open it up. I'm recording.
Okay. Royal scroll.
See how multitasking you really are, Beth.
Bring out your dead ding. Bring out your dead ding. Attention, ye old King Shaziz the Terrible! Enjoy this peace we bring thee. If you have any issues with the dead, please feel free to call me at... The wings are packed separate. Be very careful attaching them. To the two bolts in the back of his neck. You know these magnets are strong and the pieces are fragile. I hope he makes it to you in one piece and that no parts are harmed. And I can't read the bottom because you have your fingers on it. Coconuts, I think. Riding on our horses. Knights of the Round Table.
Uh-oh. I think I'm getting worried. All right, well, I'm putting the royal scroll down. Holy smokes. I know what this is. And I know the lady that made it.
Well.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That is so cool. Okay, now I got to figure out how to bolt it together.
Turn around.
What I'm looking at here is a sculpture made by this nice lady in here, which I can't remember her name at the moment because my brain just shut off.
Lady/Dame Shannon Goldberg.
Shannon, thank you so much.
Turn around so I can get a good picture of it.
Okay, hold on.
That is awesome.
Is it all in one piece? That's the question.
Yes, it is.
That is awesome.
And the scary thing is it kind of looks like me.
Is it made from kudzu?
No.
No, that's not put under my bed at night.
There is no kudzu.
We didn't get Tom's memo in time. I'm sorry.
Magical powers of magnetism.
That is just too cool. Thank you, Knights of the Round Table. Thank you, Shannon.
Shaziz, are you going to be able to download a picture and post it on the website?
Yes, I will. I'll have to figure out how to reassemble.
What came apart?
They finished catching the tears in the bucket.
Well, the skull, the disc, and the two rings. It's like four parts.
What?
What?
Dude, there's pieces.
It's no.
It's all right.
Pieces.
I'm in my lab. We can do surgery. We can repair it to its original state.
We have the technology.
Royal cyan acrylate.
We will rebuild it.
Yes, we will.
If I have to drive there, I will.
Well, how about
you're
this?
You're only 8 hours.
We can totally do a virtual lab. We can set up Shannon and Shaziz on camera, and Shannon can direct Shaziz on exactly where between.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
She can tell him where to put it.
She can tell him where to put it.
Oh no.
Okay, so let me get this straight. The head is off.
Yeah, the head is connected to the all the way down to the U-bolts and the motor. And then the platter is loose from the deal there. So I think I've got it figured out. I can get the photo and redo it.
Okay.
Another U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah, it's been good to us this week.
I think it does
kind of
look
really
like him.
They're looking good to the packages.
For those of our knights who want to have a look, I just dropped the link. Just dropped the picture in the chat there, and you can disperse that wherever you'd like.
That is so incredibly cool.
I've got about 7 minutes of footage on my camera.
Beautiful. Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
We will upload that.
Thank you, Beth.
You're welcome, Shannon. Jesus,
word
thanks,
of warning.
Beth.
Oh my God, what is the
word of warning, Chaziz, never ever trust your wife and I, mate.
I'm
here. Just when you get up to, apparently.
Once again, cultists knows before you do.
But that is a pleasant surprise. Can I hit it with high voltage?
See, I told you needed it. Yes. You needed the light up to place high voltage.
That would be so cool to see a corona coming out of that skull thighs.
Remember when I said that the other day?
High voltage magnetism. When you're welding near a magnet, the arcs go towards the magnet. Don't forget that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well. Alrighty then. Wow, this has really been an exciting night of the round table, man. I'm speechless. Oh, it will definitely be in a video, without a doubt.
So that's Project Chief.
And I will need some links so that I can send people to see her artwork where it came from.
Yep. No worries.
Thank you.
That is amazing. I'm
excited.
I
hope you enjoy it. I'm sorry that.
Oh no, it's fine.
It's so freaky to me. Like at the Postal Service, I said, should I put insurance on it? And they're like, yeah, you should. How much is it worth? And I'm like, oh, I can't put a worth on it. So the guy holds it up in the air and says, if I drop it from here, is it going to be okay? And I was like, could you not do that, please? Could you not do that right here, right now, please?
So then he laughed and he drop kicked it across the room, right?
Yeah.
Probably when I turned around and walked out, he was like, we'll see about this.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is, Shaziz got his. Where's mine?
Where's yours?
Yeah, I didn't get one today.
Today. Yeah. How's this one? We smuggle him a 6-pack of beer from Australia to America, and he's not content.
Wow. Well, it was good.
I'm glad you enjoyed him.
Well, I need to get off here, guys.
Thank you very much, Shannon.
Yep, we can hear.
That is a wonderful surprise.
Well, don't leave us, Shannon.
Shannon's...
I don't want to, but I'm cold.
I'm with you,
Shannon.
Shannon's
way out there across the country, so...
Hold on, okay. What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, I'm with you, Shannon. I'm ready to head for higher ground back to the house.
Me too. It's cold out here right now.
All right, well, Honorable Knight Shannon, I thank you very much. That is amazing. I'm going to treasure that, and I will put a video together, and maybe we can do a Skype deal sometime soon, and you can show me where I got everything exactly where it was to begin with, and if I can't do it from the original picture, then I'll call you up if that's all right.
Absolutely. That's fine, and it's from everybody, so...
Well,
it was a joy, and I've had a lot of, you guys are all good friends of mine, and I appreciate anything.
Oh, that's just amazing. Thank you, everybody, and somebody make sure I get some links so that I can add that to the video, so I can show people her work.
Just drop the link for Shannon in our chat there.
Cool.
So
thanks for stopping in, Shannon. We always appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
I've got a new headset at home, so when I make it back home, I will absolutely join again so that it's not my cell phone next time.
Cool. Can I drop a link to some of your artwork here before you go? I have. Oh, wonderful. There you go.
Well, I love all of you guys, and I've enjoyed being your co-conspirators, so anytime you need me, just give me a shout.
I will do that.
Thank
no
you
worries.
So much, Dad.
You're welcome. Happy New Year's to you guys if I don't hear from you.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
Wow.
All
right, Knight. Well, you all have a great day.
You too, love.
Or Knight. Whoever.
For the first time.
I will chat with you guys soon.
For the first time in the history of the Knights of the Round Table, old King Shaziz the Terrible is speechless.
Knight 73, mark it down, someone.
Yep.
All
right, so where do we go to from here, folks?
All right, good night, love.
Good night.
Good night.
Farewell.
Bye.
Good morning.
Wow, that was a wonderful surprise, folks.
No worries, mate. Glad you enjoyed it. You fell in love with it there a few weeks ago, and we were umming and ahhing what we were going to get you for Christmas, and, well, that just seemed like perfect thing for you.
Well, that is... I'm just truly honored, and, man, I can't even... The words. I don't even have the words. Like I said, for the first time in the history of the Knights of the Round Table, old King Shaziz ain't got nothing to say.
Oh, can't be.
Yeah.
For not having anything to say, you're saying an awful lot.
Well, yeah, even when I ain't got nothing to say, I can't shut up, right?
I found the bucket of tears yet.
Yeah, it's whenever old Shaziz hasn't got nothing to say, that's when the world apocalypse begins, man.
Oh, no.
All right, what a world. So, you guys want to take a music break and refresh our coffee and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that sounds like a fair deal.
All right, well, I'm just going to grab...
Try to assemble that guy.
He's got to wipe the tears out of his eyes.
Got to go collect himself.
The old softy.
Hey, that's King Shaziz the Terrible to you, mister.
With his iron fist.
All right, we'll see you in a few.
All right, hey, you guys ever heard the old song, The Rappin' Duke?
No.
Well, you've got to hear it.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, here it goes.
So you think you're bad with your rap? Well, I'll tell ya, pilgrim, I started the crap. When you were in diapers and wetting the sheets, I was at the Ponderosa rapping to the beat. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. Sure, I rustled some cattle and tended the sheep, but my main concern was rapping to the beat. I don't bother nobody, I'm a real nice guy, kinda laid back like a dead fly. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. da ha da ha da ha. I'm talking here and now. Later for the cattle and rustling the cow. If I had a chance to do a repeat, you can bet your sweet dippy I'd be rapping to the beat. Da ha da ha da ha ha ha. Que pasa, amigos? Not a pasa, I see. 200 punks, well what you gonna do? I got 2 6 shooters that'll see me through. That's 12 dead and 188 pallbearers. Da ha, da ha, da ha 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 ha. What I do on your grave won't pass for flowers either. Now Curtis Blow, Run DMC, you haven't heard a rap till you heard it from me. I'm the baddest rapper in history, and there'll be no more after me. Da ha, da ha, da ha 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 ha. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Santa Barbara that is, swimming pools and movie stars. Well, first thing you know, Ron's the president. The kinfolk said, Ron, move away from there. Said in the White House is where you ought to be. So he loaded up the Lincoln and he moved to D.C. Washington, that is. Politicians taking a sip. Foreign dignitaries taking a trip. High tax and plenty Cadillacs. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. Now you see me in my movies doing my thing, but deep in my heart I've wanted to sing. Way down upon the Swanee River, far, far away. Titwillow, titwillow. Well, I don't think that's your style, but I'll tell ya, pilgrim, I'm versatile. Aretha Franklin, Aretha Franklin, Aretha Franklin, let me rock ya, let me rock ya, Aretha Franklin, let me rock ya, Aretha Franklin, that's all I wanna do, Aretha Franklin. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. Oh, I'm feeling the groove now, pilgrim. Party over here, party over there. There's nothing to it the way we do it. Whoop, whoop. East Coast, West Coast, Texas. Every time I put on pants, I tell ya, pilgrim, I wanna dance. I put a quarter in the juke, then I commence to doin' the duke. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. It's pretty easy, as you can see, just move your arms kinda freely. Do a pause and take a step, and just be sure the beat is kept. Da ha, da ha, da ha 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 ha. I was at the Ponderosa rapping to the beat, trying to cool off from the desert heat. I discovered something really neat, the Duke has moves with his feet. Da ha, da ha, da ha. I want plenty of ladies with my charms, but they like me the most for the moves of my arms. Whoa, whoa. I'm gonna rap in the east, gonna rap in the west. I'll show ya, pilgrim, who's the best. Nothing to it the way we do it. Skibble a bebop, weebop, Scooby-Doo. Guess what, America, we love you. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. We'll be right back.
the Turbo. All worlds were kings to Zerg the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and we've got a full table today. Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
Don't everybody jump at once. You might hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that...
We all jump at once, and we hit our heads with each other.
That was a pleasant surprise, guys. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. That was really neat. I remember the first time I looked at that photo... I was like, that is so cool. I need that for my lab. And here
it
is.
That was the discussion.
So you're going to put that on top of one of your Tesla coils and let's watch it shoot some sparks.
Yeah, I want to see a corona around the eyes.
You and me both.
I want to see the corona around all them magnets. I think it'd be interesting just to see what them magnets do.
That's going to be cool, man. So thank you once again, everybody. That's just incredible. Like I said, I'm speechless, man.
Right,
anything right. To make the king cry.
That's it.
So there was an ulterior motive, eh?
in public, of all places. Come on.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. Probably wouldn't be the last either. Yeah.
Yeah, you old softy.
Yeah, unfortunately. Don't spread that around because everybody in the kingdom thinks I'm the King Shaziz the Terrible. You know, I rule with an iron fist for Pete's sake.
Maybe.
Where'd you go? Did you go to wash your eyes and blow your nose and all that stuff?
No, I went to refill my coffee, man. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Dump the tear bucket.
Had to give Bev a big hug. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
You got cameras in my house?
Okay. Well, I can have cameras in your house.
Cool.
I just had one 10 minutes ago.
That's pretty, really, really cool, man.
Yeah, leave it up to me, mate. Leave it up to me.
Well, you know, that's awesome. Just when I think I've seen it all, the night surprised me once again. You know, this is, like I said, this deal we got going on, the Knights of the Round Table, is an awesome platform for people to come together from all points of the globe, man. We've got people in so many different places that come here and share their ideas and their hope and their peace and their love and all that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, how much better can it get? Seriously, we're always talking about positive change to the world. And here we are, we're bringing it to the table, and we're giving this option to everyone out there. You can come to the table along with all of us. You know, the more the merrier. We've had a really huge gathering here today, and, you know, it was for an ulterior motive / purpose, which I was surprised about, because as Queen Beverly come walking in, I was doing the old shh sign because we were live on the air.
And then she spoke up.
Yeah, she went quiet down. I was like, what's going on?
From the queen.
Oh, man. And I love that bit about her talking about her master, you know. That's the first and the last time I'll ever hear that.
Yeah, man, you're lucky you got that recorded into the podcast, mate.
Yeah, I'll have to play that back once in a while. Hey.
If only you could frame audio, hey.
Yeah, remember when... Nope, I already forgot. Oh, that's amazing.
Too easy, mate.
This is, like I said, this platform is for everybody out there. So the folks out there listening in and in the different chat rooms, you know... If you got something on your mind, some sort of positivity you want to throw out there, some good pertinent information that you need to think that would benefit the whole cause of everybody, what we're doing here, then call in. Add one of us to your Skype contacts or whatever and call in live and just do what we've been doing for, this is what, number night 73, man. You know, I can't wait till we get to the whole 100 show. That ought to be exciting.
It's going to be fun. I'm
going to have to crack open a beer.
Yeah.
Because it's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world.
Well, how many different beers from how many different nations can we, like, crack open, man? Just think about it. What do you got over there in Australia?
Well, how many do you want to drink?
Yeah, that's the only question. How many do you want to drink?
What we should do for the night's 100 is ship each other a brand from our local neighborhood and see who's got the best stuff.
That's Australia, hands down. Sorry.
Well, I don't know, man.
We're the country of beer.
We got some cheap beer over here. We got some high-tech beer. Got some imported stuff, but I hear it's not as good after it's been imported.
You need to send me a bottle of Mississippi. You need to send me a bottle of moonshine.
Well, I have to build a still first.
Oh, come on.
Just go buy some from your local guy.
Yeah.
All right, well.
If you go down by the river, Shaziz, and just walk, you'll find a guy.
Yeah, there's got to be a guy out there.
There'll be a guy, man. Don't worry. Just follow that creek. There'll be a guy. I'm not even from America, but I know how to source my alcohol.
Look for him. He'll be the guy with no shirt and suspenders.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty cool, man.
Smoking a pipe.
Oh, wow. So where do we go to from here, guys?
No, that was all very eventful and very exciting. I don't know now.
Yeah, I don't know any way to top that.
Yeah, everything else is just going to be like coming down off that.
did I mention that I'm still pretty stoked about judging the pop-ups?
Ah, little pop-ups.
Yeah.
Still stoked about that. Yeah.
He's still stoked about them.
How many other judges do we got?
Well, there's you, myself. There is Kent. And there is Mark Dancy, so I figure four should do the trick.
All right, and I forgot to mention in my video that Cultus and I, if we put out one, we're not in the contest. We're just putting one out there to be part of the party there, so to speak. So
exactly,
there's not going to be any winnings if we happen to somehow or another have the best, and sometimes we're pretty good at what we do. So.
And the same sort of goes for anyone who's close to us. So, like Muddy found out earlier in the week.
Yeah, poor guy.
Muddy can't enter.
He's going to end up with a speedboat, I'll bet.
He is.
I want to see it.
I want to see it all.
Special developments and epiphanies or revelations.
There you go. Yeah,
had a dream.
He had a dream.
Yeah, it made quite a bit of sense, too.
Shannon had a dream about building one, so we're off to a good start.
Yeah.
That's where all the good ideas start from, a dream, an idea, a vision, or whatever.
Now, Tom, are you going to build one?
I've got a lot of stuff going on here, man. I
just hope we
get to it, so.
I was really looking forward to something really steampunky from you, and now you're like telling me you got a lot of stuff going on. What's the deal, Tom?
We're
going
to
do this each year, right?
Well,
we've got plenty of entrants this year. It would be good to carry it over to next year. Well,
if Tom ain't going to enter, heck, that's the end of it. It's just all over.
Well, we need like a bobblehead Tom with some steampunk glasses and cruising around in a putt-putt boat. What do you think?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you gotta make one. It doesn't matter how big.
Yeah, go out and buy one and modify it.
Yeah, enter it in the
maybe. Maybe the because
I thought that was against the rules to start out with a bought one.
Well, you won't win. Because you'd have broke the rules.
But I was just thinking about that.
The main reason I should join is because if I make something, you guys will all be screaming that I had to have bought it.
Now, what about this? What if he buys a used one? Would that be considered recycled material?
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
We promise not to scream.
But let's all be very honest. What Tom was just trying to say, if he made a pop-pop boat, you'd all assume he bought it. He does some pretty fantastic metal craft, so,
Oh, I hear a challenge on the way, man.
I do. And on that note, because there is so many of us so closely involved who can't enter, I'm going to put 200 mech down. I know it's not a lot, but I'm going to put 200 mega coins down for any of you to pull off a decent build. So there you go, Muddy. There's some incentive.
Yeah,
And Tom, the prettiest I know film, you're right? in the make prettiest noise. Film? Hey, pretty.
You know what? You know what? I'll see your 200, and I'll raise your 200.
There you go.
400 megacoins on the line here, buddy.
There you go, boys. There you go. There we go.
What is this, like, $300,000 or something?
Not quite, okay. Not quite.
Not today.
Hopefully in a couple of weeks. All right, so boys, there you go. There's some incentive for you. We've got 400 mech on the table for the Muddy versus Tommy build-off.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, yeah, pit you two against each other.
Yeah. It's all I was thinking to enter too.
Go for it, Mitko.
Hey, go for it, dude.
Mitko's not... Mitko's not... Yeah, no, he's fairly new, so he's... In you go, mate.
Hey, it's on like Donkey Kong. Now we got three of them going.
So we got a steampunk build off now.
Hey, no, you still got a pop up competition.
Yeah, you can personalize it how you want.
Now there's a prize on the table for those who are too closely involved to be part of the major prizes. You know.
Yeah.
My entry is going to be full size.
There you go.
Oh yeah. I want to see that.
Make sure that you get the full sinking on film there, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure whoever's using the camera to film it all is off the boat.
Yeah, you'd be like, we're taking on water, abandon ship.
SS Buddy,
stinking in around here.
You'd see him come around the bend now.
Hey, that would be cool. One of them little steam whistles on there with it. Woo, woo!
Yeah, just 20 minutes into the ride, it breaks in half and all hands were lost.
Yeah.
And some elbow.
Oh, man, this ought to be really exciting. I can't wait till the first videos start coming in. So, whew, now I gotta get...
That'll be something very interesting, I hope.
Yeah.
Come on, boys and girls.
It boggles mine.
Come on, at the end of the day, if no one enters, then I'm going to have to award the prizes to Muddy. But come on, you don't want him taking home 1.5 bitcoins and a bunch of tools.
Yeah.
Give him some competition.
Yeah,
He's got enough bitcoins.
There's got to be somebody out there with some talent, some skills, some fabricating skills or whatever, some sort of ideas, ingenious ideas coming from all different directions. So I think this ought to get exciting.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right.
Anyhow, I'd hate to be editing the silence out of the podcast at the end.
Yeah, see, that's it.
Meanwhile,
back at the ranch.
Meanwhile, at the Justice League.
Oh, man.
Some things are just sad. That was one of them.
Well, I have my own superhero personality, and I call him Damn It Man. All right, so like if somebody spills something on the floor, I run over there and I point with my thumb pointing straight up and my finger pointing straight out, and I point at it distinctly and I say, "Damn it, man!" All right. So, you know, hey, that's my superpower.
Oh, it's the power of pointing.
If you laugh, but wait till you spill something. Somebody has to point it out. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Damn it, man!
You'll go perfectly with the hindsight, man. Hey, man,
point his finger at the speed of light and say, "Damn it, man!" before you've even had a chance to hear it. Oh. It's more like,
"Look, there's a spill on the floor. This is a job for Damn it, man!" Alrighty then.
I'll get it. Yes, the job for Redundant Man.
Redundant Man. So now that our audience has been depleted of several IQ points, where do we go to from there? I am for listening to that for the last 5 minutes. Two IQ points stupider than I was the moment before.
Where did you read that?
Oh man.
I feel more like I do now than I ever have before.
So,
well, at least we filled some dead air. I mean, you know, come on, what do you expect?
Yeah.
We're grabbing a straw.
If we have any more, we're going to sound like college radio, man.
Well, as long as we get some solutions in there somehow, you know, we got to have some positive-based solutions there for the listeners.
We do.
So the solution is this. You think outside the box, you go watch Cultus's video on the Pop-Pop and my video on the Pop-Pop slash Putt-Putt Boat, whatever you want to call it, and as you're watching that video and see how this little toy that they call the Pop-Pop Boat functions, it's simple science, and then you take that simple science and you run with it in whichever direction you can, and just create something just completely out of the box. Really nice, made mostly with recycled materials, preferably. And so with that said...
The bigger and more powerful, the better.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking?
What's that?
You can replace water with the alcohol, which boils at a much lower temperature.
Ah, yes, but then...
If it catches fire, it's going to explode.
But it would only operate in a body of alcohol. So like your lake.
It might work on Titan. Well, think about it. You can bring it up on Titan and boil methane, see?
True.
But
I can predict the winter on the lowest temperature.
If we get some exploding pop-pop boats in there, that's just going to be good for, you know, what not to do in the future, you know, so yeah. There's a solution.
There is a disclaimer for the company. There is a disclaimer.
If you blow yourself up, we're not responsible.
That's right. There is a disclaimer with the competition, and that is, if you're stupid, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
I can't help that. Neither can
you fix stupid.
That's right. There's not anyone else here, so at the end of the day...
I was going to say, you can't fix stupid, but you can sedate it.
Yes, you can. You can sedate itself with an explosive pop-pop engine.
Don't blow yourself up. Always, you know, always safety first, guys, so...
Yes.
I have to say, for the record, that skull is staring at me.
Good. Every time you see it, she says, think of me.
I will. I'll think of all of you.
Is it creeping you out? Is it staring at the back of your head?
Well, it's like one of those pictures, and whenever you walk in different directions, it looks like the eyes are following you.
that's the motion-activated cameras we put in there.
Cool.
Yeah, you're gonna have to be really careful with what you're doing around in front of that camera.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Because next time it's going to be.
Well, there's a great idea. I see Shazam, every time he makes a video, he's got to get up and move the camera. Then he got to move the camera. We need an auto tracking camera.
Yeah.
Hey, think about a pop-pop boat with a camera aboard.
Right.
Wouldn't that be cool? You can like actually see it down from the putt-putt boat level as it's cruising along.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remote control so you can just sail it through a drain pipe or something.
There you go.
A sewer pipe?
Why not? A little more like my remote control twisted metal game now. The more you go along here, if you start talking about putting little machine guns to shoot at the other pop-pop boats, you're going to be on it.
Hey!
If your pop-pop boat has a working machine gun on it that can kill other pop-pop boats, you instantly win.
Yeah.
be careful what you say, because I'm going to win.
Hey, I can see it now.
Mitko, if you put machine guns on a pop-pop boat, mate, you win.
Mitko's going to have a real small pop-pop boat, and he's going to cruise by Muddy's boat and start blowing holes in the side of his
boat. That's right. I got enough styrofoam in the thing, it ain't going to matter.
Come down on your Mexican, come down on your Mexican style, float around him three times and shoot out the hole.
Abandoned ship! We're under attack.
For the win.
Oh, man. See, that's just a prime example of how much fun this contest could actually turn out to be, man. So tell all your friends about it out there on Facebook and YouTube and all that, and get involved. Make you a video, especially, you know.
Especially steam engine clubs. We'd really like it if anyone out there knows or is involved in a steam engine club, is to draw their attention to the bill off.
Yeah.
Those boys are my set.
They'll blow us out of the water.
Well, you know, they'll certainly come.
That's no idea, though.
And what was that, Tom?
They might just get surprised. Some rank amateurs beat the steam club.
Yeah, maybe.
I hear the challenge.
Well, there's a challenge. There's a challenge. Put it up there. What were you going to say there, Tom?
Defend their intellect.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, I'm a member on a lot of different steampunk groups, so...
Yeah,
we could drop
the
word and let them know.
For sure, dude. For sure. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
More ideas on the table, the better.
We'll get those people that are against the plastic steampunk stuff. They actually build stuff out of wood and metal.
Metal? So. That's the ones we want. Yeah.
Cool.
Steam engine, steampunk, don't care. Just as long as you're into steam.
Yeah. Thermal, man. Thermal. Think thermal.
Thermal. Convection, baby.
And figuring out a way to save some of that wasted heat that we know goes through every burning process.
Yeah, Shaziz and I were discussing it before. You know, there will be a lot of excess energy that'll be wasted in a pop-pop boat. So conserve it.
Yeah,
use it to power some lights or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Get creative.
And solar powered, and so on down the line. So if you could use some of that induction heating with a small solar panels fit on a medium-sized pop-pop boat or something like that, you know? What do you think?
For sure.
Don't forget about the electrical aspect now. We have to generate a little electricity on a few of them, right?
Well, that's...
How many categories do we have now?
Two. We have two categories. These categories are the... Just let me pull it up so I read it correctly.
You got dogs in your neighborhood?
Oh, it's me. Someone's firing a gun outside.
Well, shoot back, man.
Duck.
What?
Where are you from, Mitko?
Bulgaria.
Cool.
Bulgaria.
Like I said, shoot back, man.
Fireworks.
Well, while those fireworks are going off and Cultus is looking for the list there, do you see any birds falling from the sky?
No, but I can see a giant UFO.
Yay!
Going to crash any moment.
Nice. Good stuff.
Get it on camera.
Yeah.
Alright, two categories. First category is the fastest, heaviest, self-propelled pop-pop boat. And the second category is most energy generated by way of EMF generated by a pop-pop engine or boat. And the rules are simple. Must use as much recycled, reused materials as possible. Must match one of the above categories. Must be a clearly visible display of entry and its working components in both dry and wet conditions. Initial energy must be provided by way of flame or direct solar heat, not solar electricity, i.e. solar panels. If you're unsure, please ask. Speed is... We have to sort out a way of measuring speed. By way of tape measure and time, we'll work and we'll scrutinise videos that that we pick out. I think that works out pretty well. And if you want to know any more, head over to the website.
So I thought there was one for the biggest operational pop.
Fastest, heaviest. First category, man.
Yeah, the big one.
Ah.
And so, in other words, raid your junk piles and be creative.
Exactly.
Don't everybody jump at once.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Damn it, man!
Meanwhile, at the Justice League.
Back at the Banana Ranch, we hear King Shazoo say, "My turtle's killing me."
Someone parked a smoldering van under the intake. What's going on?
You should maybe talk a little bit about your false roof.
Oh, my false roof.
Yeah.
Well,
was that like a dental piece? That
you No. You know my Easy Bake Oven Workshop.
So
for those of you that don't know, I've got like a garden, like one of those metal kit form garden sheds for my workshop. And during the days when it's like, you know, 45 degrees outside, it's like 95 degrees inside. So we're building a second roof, which will sit about a foot above the main roof. And just by allowing that airflow through, we'll drop the temperature in here exponentially and hopefully not cook ourselves anymore.
Cool, so, you could recover some of that heat using some thermal, or you need lots of hot water, you could get it.
Well, Thomas and I have been discussing during the week, and Buddy's been involved in this conversation a bit as well, is putting some turbines up the top there, just some old DC fans or something along those lines, and try to capture some of the airflow. Yeah, that's it. Thermal convection's going on, so basically from the look, because it's a peaked roof, so you'd be drawing cold air in from the low points and have the hot air forcing its way out through the peak, and if we just cap that off and try to capture the airflow and use it for energy generation. So, be an interesting little project.
Yeah, and if you wet that sheet that comes in your door, then you'll have some evaporative cooling as well.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say, I sent you a link too. There's that thermal pile that you guys mentioned earlier, I just remembered that you could probably build something like that to go in between the two to hold that the one roof up from the other, so that the heat on the false roof and the cool of the original roof will actually create an electric charge coming off of that.
Yeah.
I'll still let the air flow in between it.
That's a good idea. I was watching a YouTube video just the other day about a guy that had made a bunch of those thermal pile junctions out of steel wire and aluminum wire, because it was making a higher potential current between the two metals. But it looked real easy to put together, and probably wire up a few thousand of them and make some free power off your heat.
Right.
It just depends how long you want to sit down and twist wire together for, isn't it, really?
Well, what else you got to do?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, for your use, you wouldn't be using wire. You'd be using, like, strips of sheet and crimping the long edges together to make, like, an accordion shape.
So well, yeah, that would be more effective.
See, that's fair.
And then just rest your false roof down on top of that and put your turbine at one end of that. So,
yeah.
As that air pushes its way through to get to that higher area, spin that blade and get some juice there too. So.
Well, see, there's a lot of creative solutions right there, man. I mean, use what nature has provided. You got lots of heat out there in the desert, so you know, heat up some water, send it into the house, man.
Yep.
Drop it in a bottle and send it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mitch. Good.
I was saying, drop the heat in a bottle and send it to Shaziz.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I need all the heat I can get. Because, you know, that global warming attacks me every time I come out the house.
Yeah,
You know, we are getting because you, I was watching a video about some kind of like a thermal battery where you can store heat.
Yeah.
You know, like you have aluminium bottle and just a vacuum around it, and you can store heat inside.
Is like the
talking like a thermos?
Yes, like thermos, but in a larger scale.
Yeah, some of the solar farms are looking into them. I think maybe there's even one or two of them already built. They're packed full of sand and stuff, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of materials out there that are good for holding heat. I mean, like I use for example all the time, have you ever sat on a tire in the back of a pickup truck in the middle of summer, you know? Even after the sun goes down, you can sit on that thing and still burn your biscuits because that rubber will hold heat for a long time.
Yeah.
And if you look at the catalytic converter, which is actually on your newer cars, those are essentially reburners of waste fuel that comes out the exhaust. And so when those things get up to temperature, I found one at one point, it had fell off a car and I was in a hurry, so I didn't stop to pick it up, but I knew they were worth it, like at least $12 at the time for recycling. And so about an hour or so later, I come back and I reach down here to grab a hold of that to throw it in the floorboard of my car so I can take it down to the scrap yard, and that sucker was still hot. So, you know, those things will hold heat for a long time, but you could use that that concept to maybe, like, take several different catalytic converters and put them on the exhaust of a heat wood stove, and once that thing gets up to temperature, it would just, like in a car, act as a reburner and produce yet even more heat. So, you know, you could use that to basically try to save some of the waste energy that you'd normally get off of your average wood-burning stove. What do you guys think?
Yep. Ah, totally doable. Totally doable.
Yeah.
So, that's what I do. I look at all the junk that's laying out there, and I know they weren't necessarily made for a certain deal, but, you know, there's always alternative uses, like the radiator fans that's on your cars, the electric radiator fans. Those right out of the gate are already set up for DC. They're a permanent magnet motor, and so you spin them backwards, and you got a little generator going on. So, you know, what's to stop you from... Yeah, what's to stop you from making...
In both directions.
Yeah.
It works in both directions.
So what?
I will say permanent magnet motors that when you spin them and they generate electricity, if they're not generating power in both directions, there's a diode in there somewhere. You just got to pull that diode out and it'll generate power and then go in the other direction.
It's all right. Shaziz was talking mad science. Then he was here. what he meant was rather than put power into it, reverse that configuration
yeah.
and pull power out of it. But yeah, I understand what you guys heard.
Well, an electric motor spun backwards produces
power out of it in one direction, then just pull the diode out. That way, you don't lose one.
It'd be very rare. It'd be very rare for you to find a diode in a DC motor. But,
yeah,
it'd be a generator if there was one in there.
But even alternators, there's a book out there called Secrets of the Alternator. You can look up. I'm pretty positive you can download it for free online. But Secrets of the Alternator talks about pulling out the diodes, and you can get like 110, 120 volts AC out of that right out of the gate. So, you know, there's some technology there. I mean, that's why they have voltage regulators inside of the alternators, so that you don't overpower your car, you know, start a wire fire.
Right.
Well,
take the fun out of everything.
Well, I guess if you want a wire fire, then...
they're filming an awful lot of YouTube videos over there.
If you drive fast enough, the wire fire won't worry you, Shaziz.
Well, but the people behind you ain't going to appreciate all that smoke.
It's like a smoke bomb, man. No one will be able to follow you.
Yeah, there you go.
Just run the bridge, man. You should throw a spark plug in there instead of smoke, send flames out the back.
Yeah. And when the fuzz start chasing you, just set fire to your wires, short them all out, and then they won't be able to catch you.
See, solutions we find here on Shaziz Radio.
Yeah, they may be mad science.
I can already hear the police coming.
far as the second roof there, I was sitting there thinking about the same thing on my house with the second cover. But in between the two layers of metal, I was thinking putting a low-temperature displacer between there and making a Stirling engine to use the heat.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Well, and you also can't overlook you can't overlook the Peltier elements either, because those things are pretty cool. I've seen some work done with those, you know. All you need is the temperature difference there. And
yeah, but I got half a dozen of those heading here in the new year. Hopefully they'll turn up.
Cool.
I was thinking that design with the similar metals, though, in the accordion shape, is essentially using the power generation side of the Peltier. The only thing that doesn't have in common with the Peltier is that it can't generate a flow of heat by applying a charge to it. You can't reverse it and use power on it.
Well,
so it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, the thermocouples, they average about 30 millivolts, which isn't a lot, but I did that last video. You can see that I was actually able to get a bit of an increase, and I think that you could actually do better than what I did. But those thermal piles, I've looked some up on eBay, and there are some out there that say they get up to 750 millivolts. And that's nothing to scoff at, because if you can get 750 millivolts ran in series and then charging up a system, you know, once you start getting up in the volt range, you got something to work with. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, and for the roof that you've got there, Carl, all you'd have to do to guess how many junctions you'd have is to look at those ripples in your roof.
Yeah.
Because every one of those would be a junction, so that means that you basically have a thermal pile connection there.
Yeah.
And one other thing to factor in as far as the thermal heat is, after a certain temperature, thermal heat becomes it starts to cancel itself out. It's not really efficient after a certain temperature. So if you can find the Goldilocks zone of temperature, say like you had these thermal piles stuck in a really thick piece of rubber that would only hold, you know, a certain amount of heat, you wouldn't you get those things running efficient. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. I think the main thing on the thermocouples is as you put in heat, you also have to extract it.
Right.
So to get your temperature difference, how fast can you get rid of the heat is part of the efficiency. And are you using energy to get rid of the heat?
Yeah, and that's why if somebody could come up with the calculations to where exactly a thermocouple or a thermal pile would be at its most efficient, where it doesn't have too much heat, but it has enough to, let's say for the thermal pile, to be able to make the whole 750 millivolts, but it's not generating too much heat. You see what I'm saying? The Goldilocks zone in there.
The cool thing is, when I was a kid, I was reading, I don't know if it was a scout book or whatever, but one of the little projects was to make thermocouples. It was a little deal to use a candle to power.
Well,
the cool thing was, it was just a bunch of different dissimilar metals and pieces of wire, probably about 2 inches long. And you basically twist a whole bunch of pairs, and then you hook them all up together. And then you just kind of went around and arranged them in a full cylinder where the candle heat was all on the inside. And they would spread out like one of them round brushes. And the cooling would be on the outside. Then just hook it straight to the radio. And like I said, you don't need a diode or anything. It's all DC. The higher the voltage, and then the voltage divided by the resistance in the wire and the radio would tell you how many amps you're able to get.
Right.
Don't they already use those thermal pile Peltier things on lorries, on trucks? Don't they already have one of those things on the truck exhaust to make extra electricity for those long distance lorries?
Makes sense.
Actually,
I'd say it probably can't be, because it makes sense, man. It doesn't seem to do anything that makes sense. They do things that don't make sense, because that means that basically they're wasting more power. They're selling that power to us, man.
No, I definitely seen them on some lorries, guys.
Nice.
That's awesome.
They do the cooling with the air moving past the lorry, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, heats it around it, and as you drive keep it cold, and the exhaust will keep the other side hot. Yeah.
So I think I was looking for these things to experiment with might find a good source on some scrap lorries.
I dropped a link inside the chat room. Can somebody add this guy to the chat there? To the call?
Yeah. Give me that, Jonathan. Someone needs to... Hey, Muddy, you got that queued up?
Yeah.
You got it queued up?
I got to queue him up?
Yeah. Oh, add him. You got that thing to queue up. Hopefully you got it there. Here he is.
Should I add him or you want
to
add him?
I'll add him. You gotta find that little music track to add.
Hi. Hi, John.
How you doing there, Jonathan?
Hey, Jonathan.
Very good. Coming down with a cold, though.
Uh-oh.
Other than that, yeah.
Don't give it to me. This is the internet. I don't want an STD.
Yeah.
That's a joke for the whole thing.
So have you been listening in, Jonathan?
I have. I cut in about when you started talking about, talking about thermocouples, and then you mentioned Secrets of the Alternator, and that was basically the beginning of where I was listening. Because I was like, wait, what?
Well, there's actually a book out there called Secrets of the Alternator, and it talks about how you can take the diodes out of a alternator and actually get it to produce 110 to 120 volts AC.
Yeah, I was listening.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's about where I started.
Anyway, that's just one of many, many solutions out there. There's all kinds of different permanent magnet electric motors, and you can actually turn AC, like ceiling fans. There's videos out there that shows you how to turn those into generators as well. Muddy's got a really good deal that he does on the actual flux wind turbines, which shows you essentially how to build from start to finish a generator. You want to tell him about that there, Muddy?
He already has.
Oh, okay. Well, then you already got the information.
Yeah, I was asking about that for some notes, yeah.
Little permanent magnet rotor action flux wind turbine, the latest revision of the Muddy's Mighty MIDI wind turbine.
Hey, is this ebook free?
If not, I just got me a bunch of magnets and ready to start kicking back in.
Somebody needs to turn Muddy up.
Yeah, somebody needs to turn Muddy up. His volume's down.
Muddy,
come closer to the mic.
80s microphone.
You know, I'm just trying to make sure it's not burning your antenna up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the battery might be getting low on this one. I can switch mics if I have to.
Yeah, you have to. All right, guys.
Around you at the Knights of the Round Table. If your microphone's bad, we will tell you.
Yeah, you'll get told.
It looks like one of those things you have to... I was clicking the wrong thing.
Well,
it's not letting me download.
You just told the world about it. So, you're live on the Knights of the Round Table, brother.
Yes.
There we go. We got Muddy back. Yeah, that's the old Muddy we all know.
So, Shaziz, we had our first educational session over video in lieu of having virtual labs the other day.
Yeah.
We had Kent and myself teach young Shannon how to build one of those little magnets with the piece of wire and the battery.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Shaziz. Yeah.
Do you have this book downloaded?
No, I don't think I do.
If it's in the chat, Jonathan, he hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway,
we were discussing. Shaziz, this is a perfect point, a perfect proof of point that you don't watch that chat. We were discussing your present in there before Brett brought it in.
Yeah, I'm too distracted with all the shenanigans going on.
you wouldn't pay attention to it. I'm like, everyone, don't worry, we can chat dishes. It never looks.
I usually look after.
You can find that in there.
So, anyway.
Does anyone have it downloaded? Because it's not letting me download it.
You guys are
sensitive. Yes, I'm having two problems with downloading.
you guys essentially... You guys essentially had a virtual lab going on to help Shannon build one of them little electric motors. So, you know, tell me about it.
I want to say monopole magnets, but that's not the right term for them. Unipole magnet, is it? No.
The question is, did you get it to where it would work for her?
Well, I didn't get it to where it would work for her. She got it to where it would work for her.
All right.
Awesome. Yeah.
Does this microphone sound any better?
That's a lot better, mate.
Yeah, much better.
Sweet.
Yeah, so, and then at the end of the whole educational session, I told her how I'd never actually built one, so it was pretty fantastic that she'd been able to build one.
Well, longer that's... the patience. That's what Virtual Labs is all about. So if people want to, you know, be able to build something side by side with cultists, they can build a little
homopolar.
Homopolar.
Okay.
Wait. So you've got the labs up?
No. We just did a video education for somebody.
Yeah, so...
That turned out very good.
Yeah, I've been work.
Sorry, Mitko?
Where's that video?
It wasn't a video. We did it over Skype. No, we didn't plan ahead. It was just something that happened.
Yeah, but the good thing about Virtual Labs is while this is actually going on, it will actually be uploaded to YouTube You will actually be able to go back later and rewatch things that you may have missed or whatever. And there's a whole lot of cool tricks to this thing that's going to be really awesome when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that is. It was unfortunate that we didn't have the foresight to realize what we're about to embark on. But such is life.
Yeah, you could have YouTubed it, man.
We could have, man, but we didn't know we were going to do it. It just happened.
Either way, you know, that's still, like I said, you know, you was able to, from several different areas, be able to come together.
Three locations.
Yeah, three locations.
Three locations, and we're able to teach her quite successfully within a couple of hours, because anyone who's ever made a homopolar magnet will know that they're extremely fiddly and extremely sensitive.
You're talking about that sort of like the watch press, I think it's pronounced, toy, right?
Nah, man, this is just like seriously like one strand of copper wire, a neodymium magnet, and a AA battery.
Yeah,
and it makes a little motor. Just wire spins
around. It destroys the battery.
Totally destroys the battery. That's right, Mitko. It does, but it's really exciting for anyone the first time they get that first motor spinning, you know. So Shannon was just fiddling around with some stuff on her desk, and she goes, I've got a paper clip, I've got a magnet, and I've got a battery. And we're like, you can make a homopolar motor. And she's like, oh, how do I do that? And, you know, just bang, before you knew it, she was three quarters of the way through building one and calling the family in to show them all their fantastic new creation.
Well, there you go, man. Now, with this Pop Build-Off contest, I hope to see a whole lot more of that going on, where we get all these people from all the different points of the world coming together, building something. I mean, like I've been saying, this is a put-up-or-shut-up moment. We got the opportunity, man. We got the platform. We got Shaziz Radio, No Borders, We Roar, Awake Radio, and multiple other networks, and so... Getting everybody together and actually doing something with all these ideas, you know, it's good to sit around and talk about it, but, you know, we need to put some...
You've got to be active. You've got to do something about it, damn.
Exactly.
That's the big key. Someone's got to be proactive and get the stuff done, mate.
Yeah, because, everybody's been talking about for years, doomsday, the possibility, the power grid going down, electromagnetic pulses, we've heard them all. We've heard every conspiracy and doomsday under the sun. Luckily for us, it hasn't occurred, but, you know, if worst-case scenario did happen, you would have some bits of knowledge in your mind where if you needed to keep some lights on, or, you know, if you get advanced enough in it, want to be able to keep some power going to, like, a little cooler or something like that, or even to the extreme to where you take your entire house off the grid and stop paying the greedy man for his services, then, you know, either way, you're benefiting from start to finish, even if it be on a small scale all the way up to the extreme. What do you think?
Exactly.
So that to me makes it a worthy cause, you know. Anytime you teach somebody a bit of knowledge, to me that's a worthy cause. I see Dublin sure. down there. Isn't he not in the chat room? Hadn't heard
he
from
was
him.
He was in here.
Hello,
yeah. Guys,
I'm here.
Can you hear me? We thought you bailed out on us.
All right. Yeah, no, lots of different things going on, so I haven't been able to stay with you all the time, but I picked up most of the show. I just thought it might be interesting for you guys to look at the fact, you remember I was saying to you yesterday that each time the piston in an engine of a car goes up and down, it looks to me like it takes in 1/10 of a gram of fuel, or thereabouts, or 1/10 of a liter, depending on, you know, it's much the same, not a whole lot of fuel goes into the piston. And my calculations show that that's only 1 watt of power, and the average piston, say, goes up and down 250 times in a minute, you know, has an explosion 250 times in a minute, so... But I'm looking for anybody who can confirm that how much power is involved in each individual explosion, because when you look at it, it looks like it's really some sort of putt, you know, the boat is firing off about the same amount of power.
Right.
You know, the little boats that are going around in circles. I mean, the candle is 40 watts, and I don't know how many times they're going off in a minute, but maybe, say, a couple of hundred times.
Yeah.
You divide 40 watts by that amount of explosions, and you're coming up with a number which looks like what goes on the piston. So I'm beginning to think, if my numbers are right, it's incredible to think that a car is actually being pushed along by 1 watt at a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I want somebody who can really confirm the numbers.
Well, Dublin,
maybe I have made a mistake in that somewhere.
That I have seen basically puts out about 650 pops per minute.
Well, Dublin, you might be happy
but
to...
It'll still be about a quarter of a watt is sending it around, and then you think of a car, a piston going around. I mean, 1 watt fires off a car piston, and, you know, that's a heavy piece of machinery. I didn't think 1 watt had that kind of power, but I suppose 250 times in a minute, it all accumulates.
Well, Dublin...
Yeah, that's 40 watts, one candle, right?
Yeah.
Dublin, you might...
I think somebody worked at 40 watts.
Yeah, it was me, I think.
Dublin, you might be happy to know that I have a math wizard friend, and I posed that question that you posed on our show yesterday to him, and so he's doing some calculations from known motors and cylinder sizes, and as soon as he gets back to me, I'll get back with you on it. What do you think?
Yeah, because I think it's very important to understand the microsecond that's involved in every explosion on every kind of device, because then if you can understand the mathematics, you have a possibility of scaling it up. Because as Tim from Tang says, you know, when you got an engine like a what do you call those steam engines which are not normal, what do you call those type of ones? They work in cold and hot air difference.
That's Stirling.
Stirling engine.
They work very well on a small scale, but when you try scaling them up, the surface area of the metal starts interfering with the process and all sorts of other things, and they just don't scale up.
Well, I don't know. I saw a pretty good...
Different kinds of engines, depending on the kind of engine, the surface area to volume ratio is very important.
I seen a pretty good size scaled up version, a wood burning version of the Stirling engine, and I was pretty impressed with it.
Oh yeah, but when you
track
an engine
I've seen some
large, like ship engine size or something like that, or electricity generation size, where you you know, one can get all the benefits. Say something goes on, I'm not familiar with it, but it's a problem. I mean, it's like the ideal size for a petrol engine is between 10 horsepower and 600 horsepower. Then steam is ideal between 0 and 10 horsepower.
Starting engine would be between
25
and a stirring engine between 25 watts and 5 kilowatts.
Ah, yeah, so 5 kilowatts is not a lot of power.
Tell me what a stirring engine is. I've heard the name, but
no, that's the biggest stirring engine
that
I've
power your home.
Yeah. Well, that's the key, isn't it? You get three stirring engines and run your home, that 15 kilowatts is enough for a lot of people. And then switch off two of them at night time. 5 kilowatts.
The average home
5 kilowatts will keep a house going at night time.
And up to 2 kilowatts per hour. Your average home, so 5 kilowatts is no problem for running a house.
Yeah, it depends on the house.
You can run a house, in fact, on a lot less if you produce power 24/7 and you have some method of storage to, like, to knock the peaks off. You probably manage on 250 watts.
Well,
you know, 250 watts for 24 hours, well, that's 6 kilowatt hours a day. You know, that's over $1 a day in electric.
Yeah.
Well, still, that's not bad.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I always believe in trying to get the mathematics sorted out before you try too many expensive experiments, you know, so that you can get some idea which direction you can go. Because trying to scale up a pop-up, you know, it's good to look at all the other technologies out there and see what mathematically might be possible.
Well,
so at least give people some inspiration.
We need to add a math wizard to the Knights of the Round Table so that we can get these questions answered right out of the gate.
Yeah, that'd be ideal. We'll have to make an AI program called Dr. Spark.
Just remember,
so who wants to take over that job?
The pop-pop competition isn't about trying to scale up a pop-pop boat. We already know that the math says that we can't scale up a pop-pop boat as is and get it to carry a full-size man. What we want is what we want people to do is think outside the box, and, you know, try and work out a way around that that mathematics and physics. You know, there will be a way.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, but it's good to know the underlying maths and physics, so that, you know, people can get some grasp where the problems might be or might not be. You know, that sort of way.
Exactly.
And you know, at least if they, you know, like when we do model airplanes, you know, the lift on the wings on a small wing is very little compared to the lift on a big wing. So we get all sorts of scaling up problems when we try to make scale aircraft like Spitfires in model aircraft size. We generally have to exaggerate something like the rudder or the elevators to compensate for the lack of aerodynamic forces because of scaling problems. So most scale airplanes will have some sort of deviation from the real scale so that we can fly the things. Otherwise, they're totally uncontrollable.
But
they're built exactly scale.
Even what you just said right there is proof of what Coltis is talking about being able to find a solution around it when you're scaling something up. So, you know, there's the whole thinking outside the box thing going on.
Yeah, so I mean, it might
when
be
it comes to the old sums, lads.
And then you might have to tweak a few things here and there. Much as we do about airplanes, we'll say, okay, well, this won't work if we try it scaled down. But if we modify a little here and modify a little there, we can get away with it. You know, it'll look pretty normal, you know. So, but mathematics sure as hell helps us on that. You know, we've got these programs we write. We stick all the numbers in, and the program tells us, you know, this aeroplane's going to be a pig to fly, you know.
Yeah.
Increase your elevator, increase your rudder, or increase your aileron, or whatever.
Well,
and we've got these programs to tell us all that, and it sure saves a lot of legwork.
So when pigs fly, right?
I find the Wolfram Alpha website very useful for some.
Oh, yeah. We can make a brick fly. It's not a problem. It's just when the engine stops, the brick falls down.
Well, hopefully I'm not standing under it.
Yeah.
What if you could set up something that makes it sustain? Like, I mean, this is all hypothetical, obviously. There's nothing exists that I know of, but something that, you know, I don't know, sets up a resonance within it that keeps it there? like a spatial resonance, kind of like Tesla's magnetohydrodynamic thing, treating space as like a, you know, solid object and then pushing against it.
Well, that's
there's a video on the internet about sound levitation. Have you seen it? You can use sound waves to levitate an object.
Cool. So there's some more thinking outside the box. Hey guys, we're down to like the last 8 minutes of the show, so we need to take this next 3 minutes to give you all your last words. So, 3 minutes isn't very long, so don't be greedy with the time now. Who wants to go first?
I'll say goodbye then. Thanks for everything, guys. See you next week.
All right, mate.
Thanks again, Dublin. Who's up next?
And on that, I'll take the floor for a moment and just say Hip Hop Pop Competition is a big go, so head over to coolthis.weebly.com and find the Pop 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 page over there and get yourselves familiarized with the rules and maybe even do us a video and show us what you what your intentions are. And enjoy, have fun, that's what it's all about.
And how, brother, what about you, Mitko?
Yes?
You got one last thing to say before we peel out?
Only thing I want to say is everyone who is interested in sound levitation, just Google it, sound levitation, and it's going to pop a lot of interesting videos.
Cool.
How
about you, Jonathan?
Not really. I mean, I wanted to try and slip it in there along the way of, something about watching my YouTube videos and subscribing, but other than making it
well,
like
give them
this,
your YouTube
I mean,
channel.
Like,
Give them your YouTube channel.
www.youtube.com/user/what? Crystal Addict, I think.
Hey, because that's a good name.
Yeah.
All right.
That was one of those names you come up with long before you thought about job opportunities, wasn't it?
How about you, Thomas?
I don't really have any last minute thoughts, so.
All right, that's good. We're running low on time.
Yes, you do. Tom, do a quick plug about the Borg Steam Factory, dude. Quick, go.
I mean, what? They're just www.borgsteamfactory.com.
And they make really cool, like, steampunk stuff, like goggles and stuff. Like, get over there and have a look.
Oh, they're the best. They're the best I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the rich ought to flog them.
Yeah.
All right, we're running out of time. How about you, Muddy?
Oh, just all sorts of wonderful things. Happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and a swift kick. And www.youtube.com/user/muddymuddymudman. Come check out my videos all about green energy, how to pull it out of the trash can and turn it into something, or just a little expense out of the pocket. Dual permanent magnet rotor axial flux wind turbines, Stirling engines, and all sorts of useful things. How to turn ceiling fans into wind turbines, how to carve props and all that wonderful stuff. And many good things to you and yours. I'm out of here.
Great, Tim.
God bless.
Well, anybody can come over and check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/BladeRunner1268. And wishing everyone a very good new year and maybe even a better year next year.
Cool. Put a link in there for your YouTube channel. I got to make sure I'm subscribed. I think I am, but I got to make sure. How about you, Tim?
I think
you are.
Tim, go
I'm
on.
I'm just delighted to talk to you all again. Thank you very much, Muddy, for the invite to talk to you all again. I've had a great time listening to you all. I'd forgotten about all the hope that used to go on the nights at the round table. It's great. I've had a great time listening to you all.
All right. All right, thanks a lot.
You're a definite.
Thanks to all the Knights for the surprise there. Wonderful surprise. Thanks to Shannon and everybody out there. Peace and love. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Knights of the Round Table. And with that said, we're burning up out of here. So take care, everybody.
For your transgression, you receive the atomic bolt to the eye.
good.
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. No, we're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the Terrible! All rise for King Fulfills the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table! Rock.